Thank you for downloading this Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire podcast. And as a special thank you for you, we've got a special deal just for you. Beer 52 shipped theme monthly boxes of small batch craft beer straight to your door. You can get £10 off a case of 8 delicious exclusive craft beer selected to your preferences and the award-winning Ferment magazine and a snack using our code PROPER at beer52.com. So you get 8 exclusive hand-selected beers this month. It's Norwegian craft beers. The 100-page Ferment magazine and a snack, free next-day delivery and flexible monthly subscription. All that for £14 in your first month at beer52.com.
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome along, it's that time of week again. It's 2 hours live Rugby League chat here on your home of Rugby League on the radio. It's Mark Wilson, Richard Shorewright, Gary Schofield is here. Phil Kaplan is apparently locked in a cupboard. So, we brought in an Australian, John Davidson, to replace him. It's the only way. Wayne Bennett says that's the way to go. So in comes Davidson.
Get him out! Get him out! Plastic palms in here. Get him out!
He's going to knock on with the first touch.
And we have been gate-crashed. We have been gate-crashed this evening by Rod Studd, who came bearing gifts. None for us, I might hasten to add. Rod is with us tonight. We'll get his thoughts.
I only came in to drop a dartboard off the SCOE and I've suddenly been manhandled into a studio.
Did you miss hear the did you miss hear the message? It was hitting with the dartboard when you bring it in. That's the who's here. We'll have a look at what's going on. I'm pleased to say millions listen to this show every week, but due to the commercially sensitive nature of that information, I can't tell anyone exactly how many millions are listening every week. We're going to be talking about England. Did they get it right? Did you watch the streaming? If so, let us know. What was it like? Did you enjoy it? Did it work? Did it not work? Why didn't you watch it? Tell us. Did you listen on the radio like a few of us in the studio did as well? You know the drill by now, at RL on RY on Twitter. You can also get in touch on via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page as well. You can hear Richard bashing out the tweets as we speak now. Radio Yorkshire on Facebook, if you want to get in touch, millions of you do. All we ask is if you are listening, please do share it with all your friends so they know we're here as well. We're going to be talking about a couple of big issues. Cocaine in rugby league, is it an epidemic proportions after the two Kiwi boys have been banned by the New Zealand side? They are not going to be taking part in the World Cup. Is their career in tatters? And we're going to be talking as well about the Denny Solomona case. It looks like it's going all the way, that one. We'll get your thoughts on that one as well. You know the drill, at RL on RY. Get in touch, anything rugby league you want to talk about, we're here to discuss it tonight.
If you want updates, follow us on Twitter at RL on RY. If you want full, uninterrupted match commentary, then get tuned into Radio Yorkshire on DAB, on app, or online.
Welcome along. Scotty, you there? You're like a little kid who's just opened his Christmas presents. You need to hold it up a little bit higher. That's it. Yeah, what have you got there?
Yeah, my great friend Rod Studd, as we know, he's the voice of darts. Is Rod, and they say he's kindly donated a dartboard from all the PDC players for the evening when I'm doing up in Whitehaven on behalf of Jimmy Dalton, who unfortunately committed suicide in November. For it's for the Mind charity. So Rod, thank you very much for this. I'm sure
it'll, it will
raise a few quid. It'll be a great night. So all the PDC guys on there, also two of the semi-finalists and the finalists of the Coral English Open are on there. So what a great prize that Rod has brought in from there. So a great opportunity for the people up in Cumbria to buy a great piece of mobilia. So I just want to just a couple of shout outs, because just one for you two guys, Mark and Rich. Michelle, who's Jimmy's niece, she's the big organizer from that, and she wants you two guys to say hello to her, because She's taken to you two guys. She thinks you two, believe it or not, she reckons you two smart, good-looking guys. You're quite intelligent, and she loves the guy with the beard. So can you just say hello to Michelle up in Whitehaven, please? Come on, Rich, Mark.
Hold it, just before, she ain't got any New Zealand friends, has she? Is there anything we should be worried about, or they might be altering her opinion? Good evening.
Say hi to Michelle. Come on, Rich.
Got a Specsavers, Michelle, but good evening.
Yes, she thinks you're both wonderful. And just to my friend at Salford, I say myself and Rich, and say Barry Jones, he was at Lee again on Saturday night with his young sister. I had another picture taken with Barry, who's my Salford fan, who said he doesn't like me. I don't rate Salford, but can I have an autograph and can I have a photograph there? Richard Shorehart was there at the semi-final last year. So Barry always listens. He always tweets in and sends messages. So, cheers, Barry, and thanks again for your respect.
Get a dog collar for that shirt. It's the parish notice of starting the programme every week. It's great.
Yeah.
As what?
You have to pay for adverts on this station.
It's
people here who are listening to the show, watching the show, and I'll tell you what, you two should take it as a compliment, shouldn't you? You are. You're two good characters. You sound two nice guys, and you're not bad looking. Do me a favour, Michelle, get yourself to a well-known optician. What about the legend? What about the legend? That's all I'll say.
There you go. John, welcome along. Thanks for coming in. What have you made of the week, then? We'll start off with the rugby league. You watched it, I understand.
Which game?
the England game.
Yes, I did. I'm happy to be here representing Kangaland. I got the call up. I was really impressed with England, particularly the first half. They were excellent. Not so great in the second half, but it was an entertaining game, and a little bit disappointed with Samoa, actually. I don't think they played well at all. Particularly with the team that they had, but full credit to England. And Wayne Bennett's not very popular, but his picks seem to come off with the different players in different positions. So I think it was a worthwhile test down there for preparation for the World Cup.
Mr. Studd, did you watch the game? England?
I did watch the game,
did
yes.
You pay?
I paid, yeah.
Oh. I paid. You're one of the number we will never know.
We'll never know, yeah.
So it's one, they can go with one.
It's at least one, and it's at least one at full whack as well, because I, in a fit of disorganisation, didn't pay $3.49 prior, and got roped in for the full Monty at $4.99 on the day.
But did you get your money as well?
I didn't have any I was watching it on an iPad, and I didn't have any problems at all. I know, a lot of people did have problems with streaming and so on, but I had no problem. It worked from A to Z, and, I enjoyed the match.
What did you make of the game?
Like John said, the first half, England were totally dominant, weren't they? I mean, they hardly made a mistake. I was disappointed in Samoa. I expected a lot more from Samoa. Second half, England regressed, didn't they, and made a lot of errors. And in fact, they invited Samoa back into the game. And had Samoa been good enough, they'd have got back fully into the game, wouldn't they? And they could have been a bit squeaky towards the end of the match. I think the scoreline in the end might have flattered them with a couple of late tries, but I'm still not sure about it. I think it's one of the most pointless sports fixtures in the history of international sport. But
for what reason?
I just don't see the discernible benefit in flying all the way around the world, disrupting your domestic competition in the middle of it. It won't make a blind bit of difference to England's chance of the World Cup.
Is it short sightedness to try and keep
yesterday and the day before
appease Wayne Bennett? Do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I disagree with that, though, because you're not going to get the quality of opponent Samoa in the UK, whether they play France or Ireland or Wales or...
But we were told that the panacea to all ills was playing the Exiles not long ago, weren't we? When that first started, that was it. We were never going to have this quality of opponent ever again.
And the Exiles had a winning record over England over those fixtures.
Yeah, so... you only got to look at the bookmakers odds. England were 9-1 to win the World Cup before they played... Well, after they played Australia... In January, February, March, April, May, they've still been the same odds. They'll be the same odds if they won or lost that game. It's not affecting their chances one iota. One really reasonable performance. What's happened is, we lost to a team that's better than us in Australia, and it was like, we're useless and woe is me and it's terrible and Wayne Bennett must be strung up on Tower Bridge. And we beat a team that's worse than us, and suddenly it's a great exercise and it's perfect preparation and we'll challenge Australia. Well... any outcome is possible in any match, but anyone who watched Australia play New Zealand, I don't think will be saying that England are, remotely in the same ballpark.
Might help that New Zealand are actually going downhill.
Might help England.
They are. That might get England into a final. Yeah. Might. And of course, in a final, as we saw when Australia played New Zealand in 2008.
2008.
Yeah.
Yep.
anything can happen in any game, can't it? Out of the blue, we've all seen it in any sport. But they're a long way. England are a long way behind Australia, aren't they?
Scully, what did you make of it all?
Well, I didn't watch it because obviously I don't have a laptop. You know, I'm a lad from Belisle, so we ain't got a clue.
He can get his hands on a good laptop for you, but he didn't know how to switch them on.
From there, so I listened to it on radio from their commentary from the ABC from there. And we're trying to get the vision of on television, you know, what sort of field position and what sort of thing they're doing. So, yeah, exactly what you lads have just said for the first half. Yeah, it looked pretty impressive. All right, Samoa wasn't all there, and we scored two late tries to make the score. You know, maybe a bit flattering, to be honest with you, from there. But I've had my word said about it, certainly from team selections. And I just want to spend maybe just two or three minutes here to defend what I said, because Wayne Bennett is saying that we don't have any really quality second rowers, certainly on the fringes, where we're going to maybe cause problems. And he brought in Hyington, who was rubbish in 2011 and did do a lot at the weekend. And then obviously Chris McQueen made his debut, dropped the ball on the first attempt. So realistically, for mine, not a chance. So listen, I just want to remind Wayne Bennett, and I want to remind everybody out there, because I've took a bit of stick this week, I guess, from people. But to be honest with you, people who I've met, whether I've been going into the butchers, the pharmacists, whether I've been going around monitors or putting some pets in the car, 98% of people have really agreed, to be honest with you. And I'm getting a bit of laughing and joking here now. I'm not having no plastic palms. Having said that, I've got some Australian friends. I've even made John Davidson a cup of coffee. But what I want to do here, fellas, and I just want, because I want to stick up for the British players, and I want to stick up for the English Super League, because we keep getting told on Sky, and we keep getting told this.
He's going to launch into Jerusalem.
that the NRL's, you know, we're getting close to the NRL. This British Super League is brilliant. All the talent the academy we've got. So, listen, I just want to remind Wayne Bennett here that we don't need any Australians in that dressing room. And here we go then. So my squad, I've got 37 players here. I've got even train on players here. We get some injuries, Rod.
Right.
So what about this? And I'm sure it'll cause a bit of debate. So the backs would be Hardacre, Ratchford, McGilvery, Hall, Watkins, Brown, Gale, Widdop, Williams, Percival, Makinson and Shenton. They would be the backs. The forwards, Graham, Sam Burgess, Hill, Wormsley, who, by the way, should have made his debut, Hodgson, Clark, Whitehead, Matt Meakin, who did okay, O'Loughlin, Farrell, Bateman and Taylor. So if any of them guys...
You haven't got Curry there, either.
Hold on. I said my train on squad as well.
Gary.
If there's any injuries from there, what I'm saying here, we've got 37 players who could do a decent job in an England jersey without Australians, Rod.
Right.
So the train on squad players would be Tom Burgess, George Burgess, Amore, Liam Watts, Ben Curry, Declan Patton, Joe Burgess, Greg Eden, Ryan Atkins, Paul McShane, Jamie Shaw, Danny Outen and Stevie Ward. So if anybody's listed from Australia, if anybody knows a little bit about Wayne Bennett, just tell him again. And if anybody's picking up from a journalist point of view out there, we have 37 players over here who could do a decent job for it. I'm not saying we can win the World Cup, but we don't need any plastic palms, i.e. by bringing Australians into the dressing room. I rest my case.
All right.
And I'll defend myself. And I'm defending it because, as an ex-Great Britain captain, right, I'm defending Super League and I'm defending the British players who want to play for England, Rod.
Let me ask you this. Would you have the Australian players in if they were better than those?
No, I wouldn't. I don't want them, Rod. I don't want them in there. I don't want them in the English dressing room. I don't want Jonathan Thurston. I don't want Cameron Smith. I don't want Cooper Cronk. I want the English way. Right. And I want it done the English way. And do you know what? Hopefully England will get to the World Cup final, which is December the 2nd. But if we don't, if we get knocked out the week before, which is, what, 27th of November or something, then it'd be great. Do you know what? I'll be happy, because it'd be good riddance to Wayne Bennett, and then it'd be great into the dressing room for Darryl Powell, and we'll do it the British way. Yeah. But no, I don't want any... Whatever quality Australians, Rod, I don't want them in that English dressing room.
Okay. I think he wants proper Englishmen like Kevin Peterson and Mo Farah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
I'm not Piers Morgan.
As I said to many people, am I the only one standing up for British Super League? Am I the only one standing up for the British players? I must be.
Well, you've forgotten something about Lee Mossop. We've had him on. Is he on your list?
Well, there you go.
There you go. Another one.
Hey, and do you know one as well? Listen, Rich, as well. We're talking about second rowers. I'd even throw in there. I'd even throw if I was a little bit desperate. I'd even throw in there Carl Ablett and John Wilkin. As long as John Wilkin was going to play as a second rower
and
not as a stand-on.
Not kick it, John.
So there we go.
Right, look,
if he kicked it, he'd be on the next plane home. I can reassure you.
You can sail home.
The problem is right. You want to play by Marquess of Queensbury rules, and the rest of the world has moved on.
I couldn't care less about what.
Okay.
Rod, I couldn't care less what anybody else is doing.
But if you keep getting beat playing by Marquess, you keep getting put on the seat of your pants playing Marquess of Queensbury rules, and the opposition's just saying, we're picking who we like. Australia, you know, we can go back to all sorts of people. Lottie Takiri, you know, you mentioned Peterson, Andrew Strauss, Dylan Hartley, Ben Stokes. The list.
Semi-Radradra.
The list's almost endless. Every country's doing the same thing.
Well, do you know what? I couldn't care less.
England picked Dan Sargent, and he was born in Australia. Did you object to that?
Let me just quote our big man as well, Nigel, who's the head of the RFL. Let me just quote Nigel as well. The selection of Queen and Hyington have raised eye at both ends of Rugby League world, and at odds with comments made in December by Bennett's employer, Rugby League boss Nigel Wood. It would be self-defeating if we drag in players who in the future will be on the periphery of the international team. Wood told the English Press 5 months ago when asked about Australian players being picked for on the heritage situation for the Samoa class. Absolute joke.
All right. Fair enough. What do you think, Rod?
Look, if you don't like the rules, change the rules, right? If you think residence is bad, get rid of it. But you're in a murky water. I have this argument with loads of people on Twitter, and they say, well, it's a disgrace, a bit like Scully there. And you say, well, what rules do you want? What qualification do you want to play by? Birthplace?
I think it's the 1933 Adolf Hitler idea of racial purity that born, raised, never left. Well, it was 80 years ago, but
exactly,
in 2017,
right.
With globalisation, it doesn't exist.
So, like, my sister immigrated with her family to Australia, and she's now, they've become, to Perth, and they've become Australian citizens. So my nephew, Harry, he's pretty useful at cricket. I'm not saying he's going to play international, but his mum and dad are from England. He's born in England, but he's now...
He plays for two countries.
He would play for Australia now, right? So, because of his residence, and he feels allegiance to Australia, even though they've been about five, 6 years, but they love Australia, etc. and so forth. So, where does that leave him?
Well, the funny thing is, too, that if
Ben Stokes is in a similar boat.
If he had the choice, I think he'd get paid more if he played for England.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, which we've seen, I think, the batsman the last few years, Sam, his name, I can't remember, similar situation, he chose England over Australia, even though he played for Australia under 19 level.
Yeah, I mean... Stokes is a good example. To turn with rugby league, Jed Stokes came over to coach at Workington and Whitehaven, didn't he? Very popular coach. Came over with his wife when Ben was 12 or 13. Jed and his wife have now gone back to New Zealand. Ben stayed in. He's playing for it. There's no one in the right mind to say we don't want Ben Stokes. He's the world's premier all rounder. You know, Peterson, his mum's English, but grew up in South Africa. Yep. You know, he was. Arguably our best batsman of the last 20, 30 years.
I've got to say, I go down the parent-grandparent, no issue with that. I think the residency one now is getting absolutely... I think it's slightly different for your nephew, who is a child and has no say in where he's brought up.
Right.
So I think, yeah, he could... I would accept
him
playing.
How young would he have to be then? 10, 11, 12?
Well, I think if you're under the age of 18...
Right,
then that's not your doing. But for these guys... Denis Solomona, and we're going to talk about him for other reasons later on...
Yeah.
3 years in England does not make him an Englishman. I'm not having that.
No, that's rubbish.
But
that's what the rules are. So they're playing by the rules, aren't they? If you say you don't want the rule, change the rules and say what make.
But well, England the, can't the change the rules, the, can they?
No, but they could. They could. You know, campaign
petition
with
for
other
them
goals.
To be changed.
You
got, yeah.
The residency period used to be longer because when Graham Hick came over from Zimbabwe,
he couldn't play
Graham
for
had
ages,
to wait for.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it might have been about 10 years that he'd had to wait playing in county cricket before he was eligible, wasn't he? And Lamb and Robin Smith and Chris Smith,
Tony Greg,
good example. So that period has been whittled down, and that's probably where the fundamental issue lies, isn't it? That's the fundamental issue, is the residency thing. But that's nothing to do with Chris McQueen. Chris McQueen's father's English. So, I mean, you know, he's qualified. How can you say that Chris McQueen's not qualified for England when his dad's English?
But also as well, though, he's not good enough to play international rugby
league. Oh, that's fair enough. That's a different argument.
Why would you say that? He's played Origin, and he's played for the Prime Minister's 13, which is a stepping stone of the Kangaroos. So How is he not good enough to play international
rugby? Because we've got better English players.
Well, that's an opinion. That's not a fact.
And that's not the opinion of Wayne Bennett, is it? Either.
Well, to be fair to Wayne Bennett, probably two of the better players at the weekend weren't actually in his initial squad.
Right.
Which, you know, as he picked...
Ratchford
won in the initial squad. Brown
I
played
thought
well.
Hodgson was the best player for me.
He was very good.
Who's that, sorry?
Hodgson for me.
Yeah, fair enough. And two of the best players in Super League this year, Rod, in Walmsley and Percival, didn't even get any game time.
Yeah, but you're
so that's a disgrace.
Yeah, you're right. You're arguing, now you're saying that the coach doesn't know what he's doing.
That's a different argument. I ain't got an issue with McQueen playing. If he's eligible to play, he's eligible to play. I mean, no issue to me.
No, I mean, the thing with Bennett is, when Bennett came in, it was like, it was very similar to when Brian Barwick, coincidentally also involved, appointed Fabio Capello and paid £6 million per annum to appoint the best foreign coach in world football. And it turned out... similar to how it's turning out with Wayne Bennett, who Brian Barwick and Nigel would have brought in the most expensive, highly paid coach and arguably the best coach in World Rugby League. And it's probably going to end up in the same tiers at a World Cup, I would imagine. That's the likely outcome.
Yeah. Let's go around the room then. Scully, was Wayne Bennett the right man for you?
No.
Rod?
Right. When he arrived, I said if you had a choice between Wayne Bennett and carrying on with Steve McNamara, there wasn't even... If you'd asked 100 people, 99 would have said, we'll go with Bennett. Right. I then suggested halfway through the Four Nations, before the Australian game, that they should get rid of him and bring Powell in straight away, because I could see the way it was going. I don't know if Scully's actually said Powell all the way through. Now, I don't know if they'd get better results or not. Probably... arguably the same, because if you want better results, you need to get better players, and they're not going to get any better players. But for me, Powell will at least play in the way that you want to play, with panache and flair, you know, a bit like the last scene in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, when they come out of the thing and they come out with all guns blazing and they get gunned out. But at least they came out firing. They didn't just hide in there meekly and get shot. You know, so at least Powell would come out, won't he? And they'll come out with all guns blazing and they'll play. And hey, listen, if they get beaten 44-40, well, you shrug your shoulders, but for me, I think you could end up sleepwalking into the same results as you've had for 40 years with Wayne Bennett, and that won't...
Yeah, John?
Really, I think the jury's still out. I think part of the issue is with Wayne, the English job, you need to be, you know, a promoter of the game. You need to do things outside the national team like Mel Meninga does in Australia, and he's just only here for 2 minutes. He's just worried about the team, that's it. He won't promote the game, he won't do anything else. That's an issue, but I think... you know, he's here now. I think after the World Cup, that's when the decision needs to be made.
He won't be charged after the World Cup.
No, yeah. And that's the problem I have with all this. Yeah,
I think that's a great point by John as well, that he's shown absolutely no interest whatsoever in doing any auxiliary work. In fact, and turned around and said, you know, get stuffed, I'm not doing it.
He's been doing that for years.
Yeah. Before Rich comes in. And also, he's not here watching any of the players, is he?
No, he's not.
At least Capello was here. Capello was earning his £6 million on these shores, wasn't he? So, I mean... Sorry, Rich.
Wayne Bennett doesn't promote the game, but he did do that thing at Keighley though last year, didn't he? That dinner where you could hear him speak if you paid a few quid.
What are you saying, Richard?
I'm not saying anything. Well, I guess when you look at the people who he has as his assistant coaches and where their teams are or were in Super League, that doesn't help either, does it?
Well, you made a big point, Scully, last week. What are the assistant coaches saying and doing? Because surely all those assistant coaches have seen the same Alex Worms they have seen. Now, I know, prop forward-wise, we're blessed with talent. But he is the form man at the moment. We're talking about integrating players, getting them into the camp.
Absolutely.
He's gone all that way, and he's sat on the side. Even the Aussies were laughing that the two St Helens lads had gone all that way and not got a game.
Well, as I say, when you look at all that, and you can think Kevin Seaman in there now, because Kevin's the director, and he's looking at all the performances as well. So, as I mentioned, there's four ex-Great Britain captains, England captains on that coaching staff, and Paul Anderson, who's a part of the coaching staff as well, who's played for Great Britain. Surely they would have been sticking up for the form of Alex Walmsley, for the form of Percival, and saying to Wayne Bennett, you know, these guys, you know, they are the form footballer, he's the form centre, he deserved to be selected. But it's quite clear, it's Wayne's way or no way. So what is the point of having them? He's got two other assistants who are Australian, so I wonder what sort of input they have. I would imagine they'll have far more input than what the English guys have. But what I was disappointed about the English fellas was that, you know, just tell him, just lay it down to him and say, listen, you know, these guys are playing a good rugby league, they are up to the task, and I say the surprise of leaving Worms and Percival out there, but absolutely astonished that that they, I guess they may defend themselves and say, yeah, we did put it to Wayne, but he's got different ideas.
Maybe they agreed with him.
Well, I'll turn
out. They might have done.
Surely they couldn't do, Rod. They couldn't do. The way Walmsley and Percival's been playing, surely. Surely not.
I would have picked Senton over Percival, personally.
Well, they couldn't because he picked three cast players.
Yeah. This is the other thing. Going back to the most pointless international fixture in history. You've gone out there with some sort of rule where you've tied yourself in knots and tied your hand behind your back and said, well, we can't pick some of our best
players. The game itself are not pointless, but when it's been played is more your beef, the fact that we're all playing on the same weekend.
Well, also,
if it had been a free week, would it have been a pointless friendly for you?
Well, if they were saying that you can only... If you're
saying
if
it had been a free week and he could have taken who he wanted.
Well, that's different. He's had to pick a team that will bear little or no resemblance. So he's gone out with this idea that it's going to be the perfect preparation for the World Cup. That's what we're sold on. And he's gone out and had to pick a team that will bear little or no resemblance to the one that takes the field in the World Cup.
Well, Winnipeg will be playing at standoff as well. Right, Winnipeg Williams
if they're fit.
He will be able to pick more than three players from each team for a start.
And bearing in mind,
Hardacre will play fullback, surely.
And bearing in mind, Samoa didn't have their three best players in Roberts, Jesse, and Junior Moores at Casper, did they as well? You know, so. But Ben Curry, Ben Curry might force his players in the second round there. So, but still, from the guys from the assistants' point of view, and as I say, there's four ex Great Britain captains and England captains on that coaching staff, plus with Kevin Sinfield from there. I would have been absolutely astonished if they wasn't sticking up like I am doing for the English game and sticking up for the English players. That's exactly what I've been doing.
All right. Let's have a look at what's going on in social media, Facebook at Radio Yorkshire. And at RL on our wound.
Here's Marky with the complete solution to England's coaching problem. Well, it then starts again, because he would have Sean Wayne looking after the defence and Darrell Powell looking after the forwards.
But they don't have each other's number.
I think there might be a fundamental flaw there, isn't it? That's like probably asking, Theresa May to work with Jeremy Corbyn.
I think Mourinho and Wenger.
Yeah, exactly.
The forwards would hate the bats, wouldn't they? The name.
They'd have to stay in different dressing rooms.
Well, it's all right.
They'd have to go on different buses.
Maybe
that's why the team flew out on two separate flights. They were just pre-planning for Power the World Cup when Wayne and Powell are in charge.
Oh no, we're not. Oh, Lachlan travelled out with the cast players, so there might be a bit of camaraderie there between the lads.
There might be. What else is going on?
Firstly, everyone loves Darrell Powell. Everyone thinks Darrell Powell is the panacea for everything, because it was Wayne Bennett, as Rob mentioned, but now it's not.
Look, the result, I don't think the players get the results. I don't think Darrell Powell would necessarily get any results better, but it would be more fun to watch, and he's far more engaging, isn't he? I mean, look, not talking just from a media point of view, from a punter's point of view, I'd rather listen to Darrell Powell than listen to Wayne Bennett. He's engaging, he wants to play in the right way, he wants to score tries, he wants to entertain,
and he's English, Rod. Throw that in, Rod. Come on. Throw it in.
All right. England Rugby Union have got a pretty... Dower's a bit...
Diverse.
Idiosyncratic Australian coach.
Rod. Do you know what as well?
Troy Bayliss is coaching England cricket team.
I said this on another station yesterday, speaking to two... Speaking to two ex-Rugby Union players, right? And when I mentioned, Stuart Lancaster, the English coach...
Who was rubbish.
Absolutely rubbish. But you know why he was rubbish, John?
Because he wouldn't
let his players play with that freedom of expression. Play with the game. All Eddie Jones has done. He has seen the talent of these English players and let them go out there and express themselves. But Lancaster, he was absolutely rubbish, boring, school teacher typified coaches thing. Eddie Jones has only got the same players.
He's actually capped a lot of Fijians and Kiwis.
He's seen the talent in there to say, hey, listen. You want to go out and play and express yourself, and that's why he's got the results. That's what Darrell Powell would do.
Leave the World Cup out of it for just a minute. Lancaster got castigated for going for away to Ireland to win the Grand Slam and getting beat, and Jones did exactly the same thing this year. Went to Ireland and got hammered.
He told Jones in press conferences.
Lancaster wasn't that bad, it was the World Cup.
Why does Jose Mourinho get away with things?
He's all right there, Australian coach, though, Eddie, is he?
Okay.
To be honest, I couldn't care less, because I'm not bothered about rugby union, so I couldn't care less than they have. They can pick as many Aussies, Fijians, whoever they want, I couldn't care less.
All sports have got foreign coaches, haven't they? That's just how it is. So the work, this, just It's aware of the world, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but, yeah, but listen, they're also too right. Let's go back to 1980.
Yeah, Tony Smith.
Oh, let's go
he's
back. Australian. Yeah, what a good job, Tony.
Didn't he pledge allegiance to England?
Yeah, I think he supports England in rugby league.
Yeah, well, Tony's man management in the 2008 World Cup between the St. Helens and Leeds players was disastrous.
But, yeah, but nobody said he was useless when he arrived at the job.
But also as well, though, listen, but since 1982, we've been copying the Australians. We don't want to copy the Australians. Rod, I'll still tell you now, right. If the Australians hadn't have brought the tackle bags, the tackle shields, the cones, would have still been training Tuesday, Saturday, having a gallon and a half of fishing chips on a Tuesday and Thursday night, training Saturday mornings, and playing attractive rugby league and knocking hell out of them. But what do we do now? We try and copy them and we're miles behind.
Right, so you're saying that the key to winning the Rugby League World Cup is 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps.
Let's try something different, that's what I'm saying. Let's do something different, that's what I'm saying. Let's do it the British way. It didn't do me any good anyway, and we looked bloody far off. It was only Malmeninga pushing everybody about. Let's do it a different way.
Probably being Mal was English.
He's going to start having nightmares about Ricky Stewart making that break. Just try to relax. Gary. It's all right.
Don't even laugh, John.
That's English now.
Well, there's no Phil Kaplan here. He's got a bit of shingles somewhere. Social media.
Yeah, a mixed bag of people in terms of the streaming, the success of that extravaganza. David, not happy. Because he's in the Middle East, he paid and wasn't told that he couldn't watch it outside of England. But there you go.
Get one of those geo-blocking, antidote to geo-blocking.
He's paid £3.49 for the game, and he's on some kind of international computer.
He's trying to watch the next series of Game of Thrones.
He wants to watch the match.
Now, Paul again has unfortunately had to rely on a dodgy stream. As his email,
his email
for access didn't arrive until Sunday. Well, Paul, we're going to forward your tweet to the RFL. Expect a knock on the door from Nigel. We'll be getting your £3.49 off you.
I'll tell you what, I didn't have any problem with it at all, but where I think the RFL can be fairly criticised is that when you signed up, you guys probably said the same thing, that you never received any sort of welcome, your account's open, this is great, this is how you watch the game, press ABC, hope you have a good time watching it, blah, blah, blah. And then after it, when it was by their own admission an experiment, then I've received nothing. There's been no feedback. There should have been a form ready to go, how would you rate it 1 to 10?
Yeah.
Would you say we could do anything better? Would you pay again? Would you pay to watch Super League matches on the stream? How much would you pay? Etc. etc. But I've emailed them today and said, saying, I was happy to pay and I had no problems with the experience, and I wouldn't give your rights away for nothing to terrestrial broadcasters either if they didn't pay the right amount. But on the other hand, I haven't received anything back to that. So I think they can be fairly criticised for not promoting the game. I don't think they marketed their product. There was not much advertising.
Is it the right? Idea badly executed?
I think streaming's fine. I stream a lot of sports. I stream snooker, darts, cricket.
But that at international level, as we've seen with, say the cricket, when England won the Ashes after 19 years in 2005, and they sold all their rights to Sky, and cricket as a sport, in terms of participation, has gone down because the Premier level is not being seen by the same amount of people.
I think
there's an argument
down,
against
sure
international where the club
is there
behind
definitely a causation about that, because it's gotten down. All sports are going down, aren't they? So participation is going down in a lot of sports, isn't it?
Okay.
Look, I get. There's a trade-off. John's made a good point. There's a trade-off for rights holders between taking cash and putting stuff on free-to-air because of the benefit of exposure and sponsorship and higher viewership. So you'll take less cash from free-to-air.
Hmm.
That argument does not extend to giving it to free to air for £8,000 for the match. That cannot be right. They cannot give it to them, because then the free to air company instead is coming. Say the free to air is paying £150,000 per Challenge Cup tie, and you give them an international for £8,000. It won't be long before they come back and say, "Hang on a minute, the Challenge Cup's we'll give you less for that." And then you've got the risk of the satellite broadcaster saying, "Hang on a minute, we're paying £300,000-£500,000 a match here, and you're giving it them for £8,000. We'll give you £100,000, and you can like it." And suddenly your whole business model has collapsed. So for me, the RFL were absolutely right not to give that game away for the derisory offer that was made by free-to-air companies.
Have they shot themselves in the foot though by making us pay for it, which put people like it split the fan base
to where it started.
Yeah. And then now, having said they would divulge the figures, now they're withholding the figures. We know it works. Look, Toronto have come out and said, 400,000 people watched that film the other week. Now, when you break that figure down, how long did they actually watch for? Yeah. Probably very minimal when you look at it in the cold light of day. But they haven't. It just seems to me this has been a disaster from start to finish, and that's what I'm worried about.
I think they got themselves in an awkward position because they couldn't give it to the terrestrial broadcaster for what was being offered. So that was a no-no. So then you're left with what?
Mm.
Streaming it yourself,
I think you stream it yourself for free, and then you say, okay, we had 200,000 people watch it, and then you can say, okay, because from what I've heard, thousands of people watched it, so that could be anything from 9,999 to 1,000.
Okay.
That's not a lot.
Richard, they didn't ask, but we asked the question, they could not confirm that they invited Channel 5 and Channel 4 to the table straight away. Mm. Had they done what we said, huge data collection, you can watch it for free, we need your email, where you live and how old you are or whatever, who you support, and all of a sudden you've got all these names that you can then bombard with marketing literature moving forward. They've just missed a massive chance, haven't they?
Channel 5, we've obviously just signed a deal to show 5 Aviva Premiership games.
And paid a lot of money for it.
And their highlights on national television at an hour when people will be awake. Across the whole of the country, and not just in Cumbria or wherever, because that's where rugby league's watched, thanks to our friends at the BBC.
I use an example of a friend of mine, Welsh friend of mine, lives in London, a mad sports fan, doesn't have Sky, doesn't have any pay TV, but watches sport religiously, big rugby union fan, but would watch England, watch GB in rugby league. He was the sort of person who would have watched that game. Obviously, didn't know about it, wasn't able to watch it. But that kind of potential audience, and those are the people that you build on, you get to regular games, you try and promote to, because the core fans like us here, we're going to watch it no matter what.
You shouldn't forget, though, that the last World... They took less money for the last World Cup. But, you know, the broadcast fee for the last World Cup was less than they could have got to get it on free-to-air TV. And the last Four Nations event, which is only, 6 months ago, that was on free-to-air TV. I don't know if that's had any discernible benefit in participation levels, which appear to be down.
So therefore, I think this is the biggest myth. Gary was on the BBC 30 years ago, and we're not seeing 50,000 a week down at Headingley, are we?
We were told, they told us that Sir Kevin Sinfield being on Spotty was going to be the great panacea and would take rugby league to new national and international markets, and when he got all those votes, and it was marvellous. The attendance figure that in the next season went up by 0.0046%, but they didn't bother mentioning that later because it didn't suit them. So I think it's a complete myth. There is obviously you don't want to disappear completely. John's absolutely right with that, and that's why they will give tell TV rights to free-to-air broadcasters for less. But to say that free-to-air broadcasting of sport is the panacea to all ills. It is a myth.
Well, RFL...
No, I agree, yeah.
It's not.
The BBC, are they box-ticking doing rugby league? They've got to be seen to do a certain amount of sports, etc. Would that value of that show have more on ITV when they can actually sell revenue on the back of it, and therefore... You know, if ITV can sell 2 million quid of advertising on the back of it, they might well pay a million quid to get it on their station.
ITV went into horse racing and took horse racing off... ITV went into horse racing. They've just taken the rights, Ed Chamberlain and the guys do a great job with ITV Racing, which they took from Channel 4. But ITV, you made a great point there, because ITV took that as a business model because they could sell a sponsorship with a bookmaker. And take bookmakers. The whole coverage is sponsored by a major bookmaker, and they've got other bookmaker advertising. That was their model. So, going around in a long way of saying what you're right. If ITV could find the right sponsor, and look, Betfred sponsor the Super League, don't they? And obviously Ladbrokes the Challenge Cup. If they could take one of those bookmakers on board with them, and they would pay for the coverage, that would be a business model for ITV.
Yeah, it would. But have we actually gone down the route and asked them? I don't know.
Well, I don't know how long BBC's contract for the Challenge Cup is. I don't know how long.
All right, but the England games,
it's a
one-off. Because that's a one-off. That's a free property, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. Scully, I mean, England, you and your opinion, England should be seen by everyone. Obviously, you're the one that's pulled the shirt on in this.
Absolutely,
in this,
yeah, and I think it would have been arse as well. I think it's only 20 years ago since I was on the BBC and played really around rather than 30 years, to be honest with you. But I'll put you right with that one.
Well,
but, yeah,
30 years since you played well, apparently.
Are you still playing in the 1990s?
99, yeah, 99.
If you can call it flying, I think standing there in the middle of the field.
You're getting me confused here. I guess it doesn't take...
Like many of the good players, it just went on too long.
But, it should be on there for everybody to see. And, yeah, I was disappointed I couldn't see it on national television on Saturday. Very disappointed.
You can't watch World Cup cricket on free-to-air. You can't watch 2020 World Cup
and
cricket.
How many people go and watch, you know, cricket outside of... your Ashes, your and obviously your 2020 is a different crowd now, but you know, well, your one-days and your county cricket.
If you want to send it all back to free to air, then you can do it. But you know, you're not telling me these boys in the IPL, like Ben Stokes earning $2 million for, you know, 2 months' work, that's all coming off CB broadcast, yeah, isn't it? Really,
it is,
you
know, yeah.
But then later on Saturday, I was able to watch the Toronto Wolfpack in their exciting home opener against Oxford, or the Oxford Blues as they were referred to throughout. That was exciting. And then yesterday, thanks to some very clever people in Gloucestershire, they thought, we've got rights to League One Rugby League, because obviously no one cares about League One, apart from Toronto. They get students to stream their game for free on YouTube. I was sat here yesterday watching Gloucestershire versus York City Knights. And for students, it was very good. It wasn't, of course, the quality of Sky or the BBC or whatever. It was a watchable feed on the screen.
Did the commentator have a posh accent?
Well, I didn't hear. Unfortunately, I was listening to Scully at Bellevue. So,
disappointing.
So I missed out on the commentary. But the feed was good enough, and more clubs should think about doing that, especially in League One, where apparently there is no TV rights agreement. So, but yeah, Toronto was interesting.
Mm. Okay. What's going on in the world of social media?
lots of people asking who they want to see in the Challenge Cup final, which will come to the Challenge Cup later, of course. And I think, generally, yes, people had problems with the stream on Saturday, but most people were able to watch it fine, and the quality of the stream was good. It wasn't too blocky on my big telly when I casted it from my laptop, and it was quite good. And, you know, it was just the Australian coverage, wasn't it? And that's good. I think people expected our own biased commentary or something, or Nigel Wood streaming it on his phone or something, but we got the feed you would have expected. Anyone who's got half a brain cell would have realised we'd have got the Fox feed. And everyone loves Andrew Voss. He's got a very distinctive style, and everyone loves him because he mentions pubs and
Warrington pies
and stuff. So, you know, it was all right. I enjoyed watching it.
Okay.
But, you know, it was an interesting experiment. But like many experiments in rugby league, where does it go next? What's the next thing?
Well, when do England play next after the World Cup? Who knows?
It could be one of those things that just sort of disappears into the ether, and in a couple of years we'll have forgotten what all the fuss was about.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Scotty, what do you want to talk about next, pal? We'll move on now, as you would say. We'll move on. Where do you want to start in the world of rugby league? We've got to go with the New Zealand boys, haven't we? Done for taking cocaine. What's your thoughts on this one, fella?
Well, disgraceful, to be honest with you, and I say, because one of us is the national captain. I think the other one's the co-captain of the NRL club. And these guys are role models for youngsters. And as I say, they're up there with the best in the world of rugby league. And... disgraceful. Themselves have been told idiots. They've not just set themselves down, their own families, but also to the greatest game of all in rugby league. So they're getting exactly what they deserve. I'm certainly one person who's totally against drugs, whatever walk of life, whether it's in society or taking it as a sportsman. I won't deny. Yeah, I've been offered drugs certainly when I was a player, but nothing taken. Absolutely hate him, and the way that we are in the day and age nowadays, when you look at certain social media, you look at the cameras on phones and all this sort of thing. There's no way made when you're high profile people, you would get away with it, but. Not for me, and they're going to get exactly what they deserve. The New Zealand Rugby League have done exactly right, banning them from the World Cup, and if I'm honest with you, they deserve sacking from the game.
How much of a problem do you feel
huge.
This is
huge.
In Rugby League?
Huge. It's huge. And if we think that it isn't a problem, then we're kidding ourselves. You know, I'm sure yourself have heard rumours, and I'm sure John's a journalist, and I'm sure Rod as well. You know, these are problems with drugs in society, but also too in sport. And it's not just in other sports, in cricket, rugby union, it is in Rugby League. And I think at times it gets brushed under the carpet, and these are an issue. And if the RFL, for mine, they don't seem to be doing enough testing. And I think everybody should be tested every week or maybe every 5 days and get the cheeks out. Okay, cocaine may not be like a steroid where it's perform enhancing, but at the end of the day, it's a very, very serious drug and it needs banning, and anybody's caught taking it, they deserve being banned.
John, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I think it was really disappointing, particularly Sean Kennedy as well, and then the CEO of Cronulla, all in the space of 48 hours. I think the NRL's had numerous scandals over the past few years, from the bubbler and everything else, domestic violence, match fixing, the Cronulla Asada scandal, and this is just another sort of slap in the face. So I think it was good by the New Zealand Rugby League to come down hard on those two players. I don't think they should be banned from the game. I think that's, you know, people make mistakes, you know, should be rehabilitated. But when it comes down to it, it's an individual's choice. I think the game is actually doing a lot to educate players, and they've made some stupid choices.
Rod?
I'm not quite as draconian, I don't think. You know, they've signed up to play professional sport. They've not signed up to be role models. They're not MPs. They've never sort of, like, gone out to preach the...
I think in the NRL contract, well, they actually say, we won't do drugs.
Right, OK, fair enough. They haven't failed a drugs test, have they?
No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
They haven't failed a drugs test, so...
They've admitted guilt without a trial, Rod, so they don't need a trial.
I'm not an advocate of taking illegal Class A narcotics in any way, shape or form. But to chuck someone out of a sport because they happen to have snorted cocaine once sounds a bit draconian to me.
It'd be more than once, Rod.
Well,
it'd be more than
may
once.
Or may not, but, you know, but where do you stop it? You know,
ban them. Simple as that.
They're not going to
set the lead somewhere.
I'd have a lot more. I feel not sympathy is not the right word, but I wouldn't want to be coming down as hard on those players that have taken a recreational drug. They'll get banned, and fair enough, but they're going to miss a World Cup. It's much more serious. We're talking about Jonte Wolfpack. They fielded a bloke that's a two-time drugs cheat. They've got Penkovic shouldn't have appeared on the field.
I agree with you.
He's been banned twice.
Issue. Yeah,
for performance enhancing. That's got that right. And nobody's batted an eyelid. These two blokes, you know, are going to be hung out to dry in New Zealand for a cocaine issue. So I think that's more of an issue. Look, I'm not advocating taking drugs and you know, by no means, but I think you can be a bit too draconian. I mean, you know, they're not the only young men in the world that have taken cocaine at some point, are they? You know, I think it might be a sledgehammer to crack, and Rod, as well,
John, there's plenty of speculation. You know, there's plenty of Super League players who were taking cocaine. I can reassure you.
Right,
there is. There's plenty of them.
You struggle to say that was a performance enhancing drug.
I'm not saying it's a performance enhancing drug, but still, it's
an illegal drug. We should point that out.
Yeah, absolutely, it's an illegal drug. I'm not advocating taking cocaine. And if they caught, possessing cocaine, they're going to get prosecuted by the relevant law enforcement agencies, aren't they?
It's on the
WADA ban list. There's a stimulant.
It is on the WADA ban list, yeah.
If you take it before, I think, you know, 24 hours before a game, it can be.
Look, it's a banned drug, it's a legal drug. I get all that. They shouldn't be taking it, obviously. I understand all that. But I think taking performance-enhancing drugs and allowing them back into the sport after doing it twice is far worse.
It shouldn't be in the sport, should it? It should have been banned for life, and that's it. Simple as that.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be playing. And like for mine now, these two guys, simple as that. Ban them and get them out.
We hear a lot of things, and a lot of it comes from very good sources. That this is this is becoming an epidemic in our game.
What, cocaine?
Yeah.
Mm. And growth hormone as well. Growth hormone as well, Mark. You know, now we're on the subject. Yeah. Growth hormone, from what I'm hearing, he's rife in rebuttal.
Do we, Richard, do enough, or are we frightened of actually, if we said, right, we're going to start testing everyone every week, what we might find? Is that the problem?
I think probably both codes of rugby do more than most sports, because when you look at the lists of numbers of people who've been banned in sport for taking drugs, both codes are fairly high up on the list. And you look at, if cocaine is prevalent in rugby league players, it's certainly prevalent in footballers, and they never get banned, do they? So I think there's only so much you can do when young people have disposable income and they have temptations open to them, whether that's cocaine or drink or gambling or whatever. Can we do more to help players? We can always do more. It's just a matter of if those people want to take that advice on, I guess. At the end of the day, everyone's responsible for their own actions.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're grown adults. They're responsible for their own actions, and they must take the consequence of it, whether that's a legal consequence or whether, you know, they'll end up being thrown out of the team. But there has to be some kind of, you know, rehabilitation thing. I don't think you can just throw a guy completely out of a sport for saying that he took cocaine. I mean, look, where would Anthony Joshua be? When Anthony Joshua now is regarded as one of our great role models as a sportsman, a superb boxer and athlete, you know, he seems to be a charming bloke, you know, he epitomises all that's great about sport, but he was done for...
He was in jail.
Cannabis, he was in jail there was a... Didn't he cannabis with intent to supply, possessing cannabis with intent to supply, I think, Anthony, and you know, he's like, you know, shrugged all that off and, you know, has progressed brilliantly as an individual and a sportsman, so I don't think you can be a little bit... You have to be a little bit careful that you're not going to just hammer everybody, and just so you lose your entire livelihood and career for making one mistake. I mean, that can be a bit rough. I mean,
well, I don't think it's one mistake. But I tell you what, though, with them two players, I bet it's not the first time they have taken coke.
Oh, I've no idea. Well,
I bet it will not be the first time they have taken coke. No way, mate. So they know exactly what they're doing.
But what happens if you were caught on the first time you did?
Well, for mine, it's you go. That's how much I am against drugs.
Well, I'm anti-drugs as well.
I absolutely hate drugs. Whether it's society or certainly in sport, I absolutely hate drugs. I do indeed.
Okay, well, I think there's got to be a halfway point in that. But I actually think this is a good thing. I said this to you earlier, John. I think, look, big, this is it, the headlines. This is going to make some guys think, hang on, that could be
Oh,
me.
Mark, in Australia, news, John, I'll tell you, it'd be absolutely huge over there, won't it? It'd be headline news on the news of the
front
newspapers,
page,
won't
back
it?
Page.
Yeah,
as
it'd
I
be
said,
headline news.
The last couple of years, the amount of scandals and the game is struggling, like, because you've got mothers, you've got parents, and you've got sponsors who are all going, well, do I want to be involved in this game where there's drug cheats, there's, you know, there's this and that, there's assault of women, and the NRL has worked very hard to repair their image, and they're still doing that, but there's still these instances.
I think it came as well, you know, with Andrew Jones situation, we know when Andrew got caught himself.
He was taking drugs his whole career, and he never tested positive.
Exactly, you know, Andrew himself has admitted, you know, he took cocaine, but how did he get away with it?
Because he was caught on the tube with an ecstasy tablet, wasn't he?
He didn't pay. I can give you a story about Andrew Jones. I was in the pub after the 2001 Grand Final, when they beat Parramatta in Newcastle, and Andrew was in there, Sonny's on, dancing around, you know, clearly off his face. Mm. But, you know, he wasn't getting drug tested after
right,
the...
Right, OK, but that's fine. So, but no one's suggesting now that Andrew Johns shouldn't be presenting rugby league on television. Oh, no. And Andrew Johns is...
Well, he's the eighth immortal.
Right, exactly. I was just going to say, he's the eighth immortal. Yeah. So he's been inducted into that Hall of Fame, and call it what you will. And no one's suggesting now that Andrew Johns should be binned off out of rugby league. He's one of the great iconic figures of the game.
I guess that's the key point. It wasn't performance enhancing, it was recreation.
But I guess
that's what I'm saying about these two guys. Yeah.
But I guess as well, the thing what we're trying to is here, because Andrew Johns was the best player in the world, the high profile there, so they were sweeping under the carpet. There would have been rumours everywhere on that Andrew Johns is this Andrew.
Right,
there's
no
two ways about it, but the authorities were saying, boy, oh boy, we can't have this scandal because our best player is doing this and he's doing that. And certainly, I reckon in Super League here, this is what we're doing. The authorities know that there is a big problem at cocaine in our game. There's no two ways about that, and they're just sweeping on the counter.
Where would
because
the pop music industry have been in the 60s if they'd banned everybody?
That's a different sort of...
Oh,
difference.
Rod, that is a yellow card and a final warning.
That is a different sort
that
of...
That is outrageous.
Look, no one's an advocate of cocaine, but I just think you've got to be a little bit... As you say, Andrew Johns would have disappeared at the game. All these people would have disappeared at the game for making mistakes like that, and, you know, young people make mistakes.
Rod, what I'll say is here, it's not a mistake because they're doing it regular.
Well,
they know what they're doing. They're doing it regular.
Okay.
They'll be doing it every week or every second week. There's no two ways about it. Now they've been caught, now they're crying about it,
Paul
you know.
Paul Merson, should he be thrown out of soccer? He admitted taking cocaine. A few of the lads, should he have been thrown out, or should he have been...
Yeah, he should. Yeah, should.
Rehab,
it should have been.
Well, all right then, go the other way. Do the laws need tightening up? It's my understanding,
well,
in Super League, you're allowed four strikes.
Right.
So if you get caught three times...
Well, 2 years, didn't he? Well, that was cocaine, wasn't it?
If you get done three times, you won't get banned.
I think you should be banned. I think they
it's not banned.
They're grown adults, and as you said, they're responsible for their actions. So if they take cocaine, they should expect punishment. But what I'm saying is that punishment should not be being banned for life and playing rugby league.
I think it's not like Gary to go with an extreme version.
Bearing in mind, there's a player racially abused another player, and he's in place for 8 weeks.
Mm.
So if that's 8 weeks, how can that? I mean, if you won those two New Zealand rugby league places, hang on a minute. There's someone who's racially abused someone, Hardacre homophobically abused someone in a Super League game and got 5 weeks?
Yeah, five games.
If you were one of those rugby players, you'd say, well, hang on a minute. I've taken an illegal Class A narcotic, and that's a bad thing, and I expect to be punished. But should I now miss the World Cup when those two blokes have done that, which... I think if you went out in the street and asked 100 people, most people would think it was worse to homophobically or racially abuse someone than it was to take cocaine. Wouldn't they?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
But it's still got to be the point, is they've got to be... I applaud the New Zealand Rugby League for what they've done this week. I really do. I think they've come out... might say they're using a sledgehammer to crack a walnut or whatever.
Well,
I think what they've done is said, next one does it, you're gone as well.
Well, if you were to sling out everybody that had misbehaved, every player you've got that's ever misbehaved, in some way, shape or form, in some and broken what well, most people consider the moral dead. Code, most sports teams would be in trouble, mate. I mean, you know, you could go back through sport through the ages. There's been some pretty sort of like morally questionable behaviour by a lot of players, hasn't there? You know, that's just...
Yeah, not denying that.
And the reality is, as long as you keep succeeding and you're a good player, there's always a club will take you on. You can go and list around some of the most heinous crimes that have ever been committed known to man, and the player's always been taken on by a club eventually. So, are they qualified for England, these two players?
I hope not. But I would imagine. I bet you Nigel and Wayne Bennett's made inquiries. That's how deaf we are.
I don't know, but Alex Worms is thinking about moving to New Zealand.
They should be punished for what they've done. I mean, that's
severely punished. Severely punished.
Yeah, but. You know, not. I don't think it's some of the things that I've, those incidents. I personally find much, much worse those incidents that I mentioned there. I find that much more offensive than somebody. You know.
Well, Jared Mellon got a 2-year ban. A four-year ban for steroids.
Right.
And I think that should obviously be a lot more than for recreational. Yeah,
drug. You know, I mean, it has to be. Yeah. And as I say, nobody's. So that's made a lot of headlines, as we said, in New Zealand and Australia, and the Penkovic thing has made no one's batting an eyelid. I mean.
But when did he last play 2 years ago?
The 2-year ban just expired.
Mm.
So, he served 2 years.
Yeah, okay, but the club doesn't have to. Well, but the New Zealand Rugby League authorities have taken a unilateral decision. Those players are free to play. They've committed no.
Yeah, because they haven't tested positive.
They haven't tested positive. Yeah, they haven't broken any rules.
They only haven't tested positive because they've admitted the guilt.
I know that. I know that. But so, finished it as well.
Yeah, and he got banned for 2 years.
Yeah, I get that. But any club could take the unilateral choice not to employ anybody that's tested positive for drugs. So New Zealand have sort of shot themselves in the foot, haven't they? They could have picked those players.
Mm.
They just chose not to.
I tell you what, if I were the chairman or the chief executive of a rugby league club and a drug user wanted a contract of mine, Wolfie for sure, they wouldn't get it.
Right.
Simple as that.
Well, I've got no idea what Albert Kelly had done at...
Don't start with that. I've got 30 seconds to the newsroom. Don't throw that hand grenade.
I'll get a confession from... Hold on, Rod, I'll ask you the question. If Albert Kelly had played one game for Ulkia, would they still be in Super League?
Of course.
There we go. Phil Kaplan, I hope you're listening. Rod Studd agrees with me. But Albert Kelly would still be in Super League.
Ulkia unilaterally took the decision not to pick him for whatever breach of discipline he'd committed. So they took a unilateral decision and... So Scully thinks that was a bad unilateral decision, but it's a good unilateral decision by New Zealand not to pick those two players.
No, hold on. He missed a flight by 48 hours.
Oh, yeah. Well, he'd still broken their discipline.
For family reasons. It's nowhere near as bad as taking drugs.
I know that. I'm not suggesting it is.
Anyway, Rod Studd agrees with Scully. Albert Kelly, if he'd have played for Ulkis and Rovers, they'd still be in Super League.
Radio Yorkshire. A Wooga. Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire at RL on RY on Twitter. You can get in touch as well via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. It is up and running. Get stuck in on there. It's Matt Wilson, Richard Shaw, Wright, John Davison, Phil Kaplan not here today. Rod Studd is here. He's gatecrashed the party, as the legend Gary Scofield. He's making the tees at the minute. He knows his role in this side. Failed coach, great tea maker. That's where he's at the minute. He's not here, so we can say what we want. You can get in touch. Please do. It's your show. Talk about what you want to talk about. We spoke about England. Someone has just kindly sent me a tweet.
that was on one of Roger Draper's question and answers when he took his new role as the... whatever his new role is, yeah. And it says... for transparency, will you publish revenue from England Samoa Stream and the BBC offer? Then decide if you squandered opportunity to attract a new audience. Roger Draper, yep, for sure, it's a one-off, as all the other international games are on the BBC. Today we've been told they ain't going to do that, John.
Yeah,
not going to tell anyone.
Saying one thing and doing the other.
Exactly. Who would have thought that of the... who would have thought?
Well, yeah. Mm. Well, apparently we're not going to have a general election, according to Prime Minister as well. Didn't she say that? We won't be calling a snap election?
No.
Roger might have, given that Q&A session again, might have preferred to answer a bit more non-committally, I think, John. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't the problem that they're not releasing the figures because they're commercially sensitive, but we all know, because it was in the press, how much the BBC stroke Premier Sport may or may not have bid for the rights to show England versus Samoa.
So in that case, what you're saying is some commercially sensitive information has found its way into the media.
I'm very trusting that the Rugby League journalist who wrote that story did not just pluck a figure out of thin air.
Mm. I can confirm the figure he quoted in his article was also confirmed to me. So, but it wasn't me who leaked it. Where do they go then with that one? Do they write it off as another bad loss? I mean, coming on the back of the Dubai debacle and, you know, this Samoa friendly being played when everyone else is playing and we can't pick the proper England team. It's just another one of many, isn't it? Is the man at the top of rugby league, is he bulletproof? Rod Studd, is he bulletproof?
Well, you can't... You know, you've got to take the overall picture, haven't you? If you're trying to work out whether you want to change whoever's running the game, you have to look at the progress a game has made since that regime started. I mean, you can't just judge it on the last 6 months. That's like judging a sports team on the last game they played. So that perhaps would be unfair, and I'm sure, you know, Mr. Wood would point to all sorts of, you know, sponsorship revenue going up. He's got two major bookmakers sponsoring the league.
I can never recall a rugby league deal that has had a monetary value on it, other than maybe the Sky one.
Well, Ladbrokes has got a monetary value, and so has Betfred.
How much, though?
Oh, I don't know.
We've signed a new $1 billion TV deal. Oh, we've got a new sponsorship. So and so paying $50 million a year to do this in rugby league.
I don't think that's uncommon. I mean, you know, Barry Hearn doesn't say, you know, William Miller paid X for the World Darts sponsorship.
No, he doesn't. But the layman in the street can go, well, they're playing for a lot of money this week, aren't they?
He stressed that the darts prize money went up to £11 million.
Well, that money's coming from somewhere, isn't it?
Oh, he's big on telling you how much he's put the prize money up and how much the players are earning.
Well, there you go, then. Someone's got to pay for that, haven't they?
Which is the darts prize money's going up a lot quicker than the rugby league salary cap. Don't you worry about that.
Rod,
because the darts players are quality darts players, don't be giving ordinary players more money when they don't deserve it.
I think quality athletes as well. You know, you compare them to the average rugby league player, their bodies are temples.
They can move the 7'9¼" from the hockey to the board quicker than anybody. Don't you worry about that, John. I mean, that's something for the RFL board, isn't it? You know, if they don't like the way the direction the game's going in, then that's up to them. But those were mistakes. The Dubai thing was an error, but and the Samoa thing, I wouldn't have played the test. But as you rightly said, those things were demanded by Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a bit... If Brian Barwick and Nigel Wood have appointed Wayne Bennett, it's very difficult for them to turn around. When Wayne Bennett says... you won't win the World Cup unless you do these things, these special tactics and techniques, which include going to Dubai and playing Samoa. It's a big call then for Nigel Wood and Brian Barwick to say, get stuff, we're not doing that. That's a crank's idea. I mean, if you brought in Bennett, you're going to be beholden to Bennett. Now, they could have taken the decision to sack Bennett during the Four Nations. They could have fired him after that, paid him off. But again, that's a bold decision, isn't it? That is a bold decision. Mm. You know, I mean, do you think they should have sacked the coach?
Just to give you an example, right, of how things have been run at the RFL recently, right?
Right.
If you'd have done a straw poll of Steve McNamara just before he got sacked, probably, I'd say 80% of the fans would have said, get rid of him, let's get someone else in. The RFL deal with it, and when he gets sacked, 80% of the people think he's been hard done by. Because of the way that they appointed his successor before they did sack him.
But that's also rugby league people, isn't it? We love to moan.
It's true. I think they would take umbrage at almost everything. You know, so, I mean, they wanted Bennett, and they didn't want McNamara, so they got rid of him. People wanted Bennett, so they gave him Bennett, and now they don't want Bennett. And if they got Powell in, pretty soon they'd probably find they didn't want Powell for some reason. That, you know, they got beat by Australia, which is, were better than England. So, you know, I think you can be too critical, can't you? You can be too critical. The Dubai thing, they should never have got embroiled in. They shouldn't have been playing this test match, but I think that really ought to be laid at the door of Wayne Bennett rather than Nigel Wood.
Nigel Wood was the man that appointed
him. But Nigel Wood didn't think of those ideas, did he? He just agreed with Bennett, didn't he? He appointed him, but Brian Barwick appointed Capello. You know, they think that getting in an expensive, getting in the best coach in the world, in inverted commas, trademark, is the way forward.
John, a question for you. Would the $100,000 that the RFL wasted on Dubai have been better spent helping Castleford fight Sale in the court of law?
It's a good question, yeah, quite possibly. I think that's a very important case that, you know, and I think Castleford should be supported by all in rugby league.
Well, yeah, that's going to go. Looks like it's going the distance, Sky, Dennis Solomona. Gary Carter's been breaking that news today on social media. It's going to court in November, isn't it?
He said going into next year as well.
Yeah, November to January, that's going to head to the court, Dennis Solomona.
Yeah, well, the RFL as well should be supporting Cass every single.
I think they have
way, shouldn't they? Yeah,
I think
but not
been.
Financially, they haven't.
No.
And let's be fair, this could quite quickly get to a question of my dad's bigger than your dad.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, bullying tactics.
Don't look at me like that, Rod. If Sale want to argue it in the court of law, they know Castleford have not got an infinite pot of money. The longer this drags on, the less likelihood Castleford have got a winning, no matter how cast iron their case.
I think they've got a very good case.
No, I believe they've got a very good case.
I'm not an expert in employment law.
Be an expert speaking.
Sorry, Scotty's just with a thing. I'm not an expert in employment law, so I couldn't possibly come up on the legal niceties, but it can go on as long as it takes, because at the end of it all, then if Castleford win, the overwhelming likelihood is that the judge will award costs to Castleford, so Sale will have to then fork out Cass's
and what
costs
happens for
on top.
Any, you know, and there's no.
Well, you keep. But if you go into court, is an expensive process. So
exactly.
We all know that. And in any. I'm not going to use this phrase again. In any court case, any outcome is possible, no matter how unlikely it may seem. So they could win or they could lose. If they lose, they're finished.
Yeah.
Right? So.
So therefore.
But they have to, but I don't know what their lawyers are advising them. The lawyers might be advising them to keep going to court, or they might say, I'd settle now if I were you, mate, because there's a 50-50 chance you're going to get beat. In my opinion, the overwhelming likelihood is that there will be an out-of-court settlement, because if it goes to court, one of them's going to lose. Right. So, if Sale go to court and do $500,000 of legal fees in and lose, then they've done a million if they have to pay Cass. If Cass lose, then I don't know what state they could be in. They've lost the player and they've lost how much it cost them in legal fees. They'd be both well advised, in my opinion, to get their heads together, find out what's a reasonable fee, call it £250,000, shake hands and clear off. That's what they ought to do. But if they're belligerent enough to carry on, and their legal teams are belligerent enough to carry on, one of them is going to do the lot.
I would envisage Sale have got a lot more money than Castleford.
Right, okay, fair enough.
Who is on their
board. Let's say
and
Castleford lose. How much damage is that going to do Castleford? Let's say they lose £500,000 and the playing asset.
Mm.
Right, that's not great news for Castleford, and you know, you've got to be concerned. If Sale lose, they're going to have to pay compensation and the legal fees. Let's say they do a million. I don't know. They might have a million. I have no idea what Sale's financial state of play is.
Have a look at their board.
Right,
there's enough money there.
Right, all right. So they might be taking the view that, as you say, they can spin it out longer than Castleford. I don't know. But for me, you'd be better off. There must be a figure that they agree the valuation of the player.
Well, they have been to mediation.
Right.
And it's still going to court. So
well,
you
it
would
could be brinksmanship, couldn't it?
Could be.
Deal
on the
deal
least
or no deal.
All step.
Deal or no deal.
It's all right. Yeah. Because
bank your phones off.
Kevin's come up with the suggestion because he knows. Get it on Judge Rinder. That's how we solve
there
things.
There you go.
In
so why did we think of that?
Judge
Sale banker rings up and says Noel Edmonds tells Casper they've been offered £250,000 and they want to go to court or open the box. I mean, there has to be a point.
they've lost the player, haven't they? That's a fact. There's a food chain, so players will go up the food chain where the money is. Sale are above. I don't care what anybody thinks in rugby league, whether they like it or don't like it. The fact is, Sale Sharks are above Castleford in the food chain, so the player will go where he can get the money. His way is not my way. My way is, once you've shaken hands, my word is my bond. That's not the way they've done it. You can criticise Solomona and his agent Andy Clark for the way they've done it, and that criticism is proper and fair. But it's the food chain that's forcing them to do it. So Castleford have lost the player. The best thing they can do now is get as much for the player as they possibly can. I think they should try and get as much as they can without getting embroiled in this and move on.
Yeah.
The player's gone. Forget the player. They've signed. Solomona wouldn't be scoring any more tries than the boy they've got on the wing now, Eden or Minikin. They're scoring plenty of tries. So they've lost the player. Move on. You've got another cracking player on the wing. Forget it. Get rid of him and take the money. My point is then,
Scully, should the RFL be backing Cass? Because if this does go wrong, and I hope obviously from a Cass and a rugby league point of view it doesn't, if it does, and then we lose other players. I know what you're saying. No one's begrudging Solomona in 200 grand a year or whatever he's earning, Rod. No one's begrudging him that. But there's a way and means to do things.
You can't just walk out on
contracts. You
can't
just walk out.
Yeah. And then start depression or whatever else as your excuse.
Well, no, you can't.
I think that'll be proven in the court.
I'll tell you what, Rod, right? You do the rugby, you do the darts on Sky. Turn up and start doing it on Radio York, TV Yorkshire there, and we'll see how much Sky want compensation.
As I wrote an article in Phil's magazine 4020, you can go back. Martin O'Fire more or less refused to play for Widnes when he wanted to move to Wigan, and in the end it went on and there was a standoff and O'Fire didn't play for months on end. Widnes didn't have the player, and in the end they had to sell because it was better to get the 440 grand for Wigan and let Martin O'Fire go and play at Wigan, which he wanted to do because they had more money, they were ahead of Widnes in the food chain, and everyone just moved on in the end.
But he didn't retire, though, did he?
He didn't retire, but he refused to play, pretty much, to all intents and purposes. So, the whole thing was a standoff. He didn't retire. They just found a different way of going about
it. Was he depressed?
Not that I'm aware of.
Scully, you ever inclined to breach your contract anywhere?
A bit harsh, isn't it?
No, I'm asking you a serious question.
The Hull fans might say, no, not at all. No. If you sign a contract, it's there, really. You would say, wouldn't you? He's got to be there. But the excuse is what Solomona, though, Ron, has come up with. He's been pathetic, haven't he? Like John is saying, that he's retired and he's depressed and whatever.
Well, hold on. We can't go into that, can we?
That's what's been mentioned, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
What's been mentioned. So
I think you've got to be very careful when you're trying to second guess what's going through another man's mind.
Right, but also, then, I'll put a question to everybody here, then. If we were at the Castleford board, realistically, me for Solomona, what would I be happy with? Yeah, like Rod said there, I would be happy with two. If Sale said to me, "We'll give you 250," I'd take it and finish it. What would your value be of Solomona?
I would have said at the time, I would have asked for half, and I think this is where Castleford made the mistake. They should have put a price on him and said, "He ain't for sale, but if you want to buy him, it's $500,000. Mm. And then you're drawing a line in the sand and saying, "You can have him." They did make offers, Sale, so they knew there was a value to this guy. I ask about the RFL backing thing. People say, no, it's Castle's problem. It's Castle, no, it's a rugby league problem.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
he goes from the game, and you might as well give up now. Because £3.49 to watch England is not going to keep anyone in this game. And let's just start and go, the talent drain won't happen. Might not happen, because if you've got to pay $500,000 to get Callum Watkins out of Leeds, you might think, no, I'm not too bothered. You get him for free next week, you go, oh, we'll have him, we're $250,000 a year, son. There you go. Oh, what, you're no good? Don't matter, we've got another $5 million on the salary cap.
The retirement thing's happened in rugby union, hasn't it?
South African.
Yeah.
In France.
Yep. Yeah, went back and retired. And once this contract runs out of the other club, that period he will end up playing again, I'm sure,
But he's not coming to rugby league, is he?
The lawyers look for loopholes in everything, don't they?
Yeah.
And they think they found... Sale's contention is obviously legally that they've found a loophole, and they're prepared. And they must be getting legal advice that they have a case. They can't be. I can't imagine that Sale are carrying on against their own legal advice. And they're saying, "Well, you've got no case, but you carry on if you like." So they must have a legal advice that says that they're right with this.
It's in their benefit to string along the case.
We often hear it in football, don't we? The boy doesn't want to play at the club anymore. The boy wants to leave. You can't keep an unhappy player. I mean, how often do we hear that? It's a regular thing, isn't it? That
they're not going to get Solomona back. They weren't going to be able to keep him. And the best... I get it. I understand it. They feel it's a moral affront, what's happened. I understand that. And Castleford, you know, morally are absolutely right. And but sometimes you can't win the fight, can you? You can't win the fight, so you must try and get as much as you can out of it and then move on for it. Unseemly and it leaves a horrible taste to Casper. I understand all that. They brought the player from London and they developed the player and they believe they've made him into what he is today, but I think they just have to swallow it. Take it, just, you know, for want of a better phrase, screw sale for whatever the most they can possibly get out of him and move on and forget Solomona and move on with Minikin and Eden and continue to entertain us in the way they have this season. Yeah. That'll be my...
As someone pointed out earlier, it's not like they're exactly struggling without him, is it?
No, it's not. They're not missing him one bit.
It's absolutely right. You know, as I said a couple of times, Solomona's way is not my way. Once you shake an hand and agree to a contract, you see it out, and they should have put a proper transfer request in and said, you know, we want to move to sell, the boy wants to earn more money, there's nothing wrong with that. Can we get a way out of it? How much do you want from sale? Have a proper negotiation. And they didn't, Solomona and his agent didn't do that, and I agree, that leaves us the sour taste in the mouth. It's not the right way to go about it. But it's the food chain and the money that prompts what we're watching.
Okay.
That's why.
Richard, Tom Johnston, he's done his ACL, pal.
I know, I'm blaming Wayne Bennett for this as well, because if he'd been called up for the England squad, he wouldn't have played last week.
There you go, Bennett to blame.
Which is a great shame for him, because he's obviously having a very good season so far. Hopefully he comes back as good, if not better, next season. But Mason Caton-Brown, he's done all right, and Ben Jones Bishop's done all right, and Wakefield did all right somehow against Lee on Saturday. I was trying to follow the game on Twitter while I was working, and it was difficult because
that's a step down from streaming.
Oh, I know. Well, in fairness, and here's the rugby league world in 2017. I was on my phone, which I probably shouldn't have been, and on Facebook, and someone was live streaming the last minute of the game from the ground. Don't tell Sky. But you know, that's something that, you know, that's
they'll be getting a cease and desist notice from the RFL. Well, I'm not careful.
I was just watching it. I did not do it.
Well, you're an
complicit.
You're an accessory after the fact.
In fairness,
you're using this
life ban. Life ban for Rich.
I'll hand my pass back in when I go on next week. I couldn't see a thing. It was, you know, it's someone's phone. You can't see what's going on.
I tell you what, when you mentioned Wakefield, they played very well for the first.
You were there, Sky.
The first 15 minutes, they went 20 points clear, and then for some reason, from the kickoff. There, they coughed the ball up trying to play Hallop Grove, so the Ubi passed the ball, went backwards, Griggs picked the ball up, he did a silly pass, come off a Wakefield player, Lee scored. And then for the next four sets when Lee scored, and then Wakefield got the ball, they just coughed the ball up, they just could not complete the set there. And I imagine this week that's what Chess have been working on. And they lead themselves, John was there himself, got themselves in the lead, 26-24, John, didn't he? You know, looked a little bit in control, but then Wakefield in the last 15 minutes literally, you know, controlled the game there. And they're playing smart attacks in the league as well, but the big thing for Wakefield is Chester sorted out his halfback situation. The best halfbacks for them, the combination, is Miller and Liam Finn. Organisation's very well, the combination works well, the team around them know exactly what they're looking for from there, and in the end fully deserve that victory. But when you look at the opponents as well in Lee, boy oh boy, are they indisciplined. They are totally it's been confirmed that they are the worst disciplined side in Super League. Until if they don't start learning very quickly, the 13 games down into it, I think they played eight games at home now or something like that. They would have expected to be on around about 8 or 10 points. They're on 6, simply not good enough. They was looking to make the Sports Village a fortress where, you know, they could realistically win more games than what they're going to lose. But boy oh boy, their indiscipline is absolutely atrocious. And how Duke sorts it out, to be honest with you, I don't know, because they're just going to keep doing it week in and week out. And they, the way they are, if they don't sort the discipline out, they're going to be in that £1 million game.
John, do they need to do a James Webster and say, right lads, we're concentrating on the middle eights?
Quite possibly. I mean, from what I've been hearing, they've been trying to bring in another halfback that were interested in Danny Brough. I think that sort of fell through when Ryan Briley left. But
he's got plenty of discipline. No, Bruffy, hasn't he? The way he's going at the
moment. Oh, he's a great match winner for Castleford on the Thursday.
That was terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. We'll come on to that in a minute. Yeah. Is that all right?
Yeah, well, just sure.
Yeah.
But I agree with Scurry. I think they are. destined for the middle eights. I spoke to Josh Trinkler after the game, and he just sort of lamented the stupid errors, you know, that they made again and again, penalties. They're just shooting themselves in the foot, and that's 8 losses in a row now. Yeah. So it's the confidence, you know, to turn that around. I don't know where they get that from. They've got a 2-week break. They're not in the cup, so that should probably help them.
Yeah, it's funny how results sort of sometimes go in sequences, isn't it? Because I mean, if you'd gone back to the start when they beat Saints, and then they beat Huddersfield, they beat Warrington,
they beat Leeds. Yeah.
They should have beat Leeds narrowly. If you'd said after, you know, those matches, if you'd walked out of the ground when they'd just beaten St Helens and said they'll lose 8 on the trot soon, you'd have got some funny looks, wouldn't you? You know, so they'll think that they can probably, if they can get back to playing like they were at the start, then they might have a chance. But at the moment, they're a really bad run, aren't they? Rotted, in fact, aren't they? Total rot.
But I tell you what though, with Lee again, it's a situation there. John's just mentioned they're looking at maybe to bring in another halfback. They don't know the right combination. That, you know, they played Ryan Hampshire there at number 6. He's not a standoff. Never a standoff whatsoever. Drink water at times. Yeah, he's okay, but you know, he's a little bit too slow. We ball in hand, and again, one of Lee's problem is they're far better off attacking 30, 40, 50 metres out rather than 10 metres from the opposition try line, because when they do get to that, they're clueless. They're absolutely clueless, so they've got an issue there. What is their best halfback partnership? Ridyard, he's not playing. Why he's not playing, I don't know. I saw him at the weekend, he didn't look injured, so whether it's his attitude in training or whatever, or Cookie and Dukes, you don't rate him from there, but their big problem is getting the right combination at halfback.
Not
plus as well the discipline.
Yeah, not Wakefield's problem though, Rich. Back-to-back wins for Trinity, 6th in the table, 4 points off the top four.
Exactly, and I guess as a completely pessimistic person, a nice 3-point gap between themselves and the bottom four, which is the far more important thing from my perspective. But also, I don't think we're going to make the top
four. Just a thing, I'm one of Wakefield's best players, Finney. I tell you what, I was absolutely delighted, not just the way you played on Saturday, but the way you've been playing all season. And I say congratulations on your new contract. And the great thing about you, Finney, was if you do get a bit
of Tom.
If you do get a bit of stick, son, you don't take it to heart, you don't sulk like plenty of other players do. And Finney said to me after the game, "Scotty, stop slagging me off." I said, "I don't slag you off, Finney. All I do is praise you," which he knows exactly what I do. You know, we're always praising Liam Finn. We all know that he's a little bit slow. And he said, "Well, you're always slagging me off. You call me a slug." Well, I said, "Well, you are a slug." And he laughed. I said, "But one thing for sure, you're not a slug between the ears. You're very quick between the ears, and that's what makes you a quality rugby league player. So, Finny, you don't sulk. And one thing for sure, you are being very, very, very proactive for that Wakefield side, and you've been one of their best players. So keep up the good work, son. And hopefully at the Magic Weekend, if you are 2 yards out, make sure you put a sprint on, and maybe just get yourself over that whitewash.
Get a fend on that worm.
Oh, witness. As Michael Carter pointed out on Twitter after, Wakefield fans, you're terrible. Halfway through the game, obviously, got 20-odd nil up. It's great. Go on, Wakefield. Yeah, we are the best team in the world. Yeah. Lee, come back. We are rubbish. Boo, sack everyone. And as Michael Carter pointed out, probably the lowest budget in the division. And look where they are. 6th. 7 wins from 13 games. Positive points difference. Not rubbish, as we have been in many times in Super League since 1999. So, it's nice to be just mid-table and just having a nice little season.
It is indeed. Yeah.
The problem is, and you know, Mr. Carter knows this, you know, full well. The better you do, the higher the expectations go up. So, if Wakefield sort of like finished 8th, it's now regarded as kind of like where they ought to be, just because they did it last year. It's actually a phenomenal achievement, because Mr. Carter's right. They've got the lowest budget. By rights, they should be in the bottom four. You know, but yet they're the best in the league. And have been for several seasons, even, you know, when James Webster was there, Richard Agar, at finding players and paying them wages that later turn out to be far below their market value. That's why they lose them.
Do you reckon Michael Carter's like Moneyball?
Brilliant.
Do you reckon he's like Moneyball? Well, is Richard Shaw right, that guy off Moneyball? You look a bit like him if you had a shave. I watched Moneyball last night.
That's a bit harsh.
I reckon you look like him. You're the boffin. You're in Michael Carter's office writing up the numbers.
He can't get a shave. He's got a lady who fancies him up in Whitehaven. He can't get a shave, Carl Rich.
I've not been employed by Wakefield Trinity since I was a ball boy in 1992.
Yeah, there you go. He just looked to me like the Moneyball guy, that's all. I thought he was the man behind it.
I think Rod's 100% right, particularly when you look at Widnes as well, because they overachieved last year, and a lot of their fans are saying, well, sack Dennis, you know, sack the boards, well, sack the CA, I mean, that's a different question, but they overachieved, and they're expecting to be in that top eight, top six, when they've let their best player go, they haven't recruited, and they are one of the lowest spenders, probably second after Wakefield, so I imagine.
Widnes are basically getting the results they're paying for on their wage bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the same.
And with the injuries they've had without depth. Yeah.
And in rugby league, yeah, if you've got a wage bill that's X, but, like, you know, half of X is sat on the sidelines doing nothing because they're injured, then you're in even more strife, you know, so... They are where they are because of what they're spending, basically.
Yeah, Gary, you mentioned Lee as a possible £1 million contender. Mm. Widnes have got to be in there, haven't they, at the minute?
Oh, without a doubt. Oh, yeah. And as I say, so yesterday here for 40 minutes, what, 22-0 up there, but they just haven't got the strength there, you would say, maybe to play for the full 80 minutes. I would imagine as well, Radders, whether he was let into the dressing room at half time, it would have been interesting. I guess he would just would have poked his head round the door and said, do you want me in, lads? So the experienced player said, no, you're not coming in here, we're going to sort this out. But yeah, second 40 minutes, just found Widnes out a little bit, but quality from the black and whites. But yeah, Widnes, you won't really. Well, it's certainly between Widnes and Lee, who's going to finish first bottom and second bottom.
Okay, yeah, all right. Go on, Rod.
Huddersfield.
I think they're flickering into life. I've watched them a lot this year, and
they're in the bottom four. I reckon
I don't think they're a lost cause. You know, they should have probably beaten Castleford the other night, barring Danny Brough's blowout of the brain. What he was doing there,
I think you're a bit harsh on Cast there, Matt, because I think we saw again a different side to Cast, like we saw at Wigan.
I'm not so sure if Danny Brough gets binned. If he don't get binned, I'm not so sure they win that game. They needed a lift, and I think they got it when they saw Brough.
In saying that, the very weird decision to sin bin Jake Webster. You know, that changed the game as well. I have no idea if you can tell me.
It was a joke, wasn't it? But also too with Danny Brough and Rick Stone. I know he's you know, he's moaning about it, but that was it was a sending off. It's a cannonball tackle.
Yeah.
It's a sending off. You just can't do it.
I've not seen it since. I saw it at the time, and the reaction of the players said it wasn't nice tackle.
Was it 2 years ago he did that on Caton Brown at Salford, and Caton Brown was quite badly injured.
Yeah.
It's just who
was
sending off.
To a sending off anyway, didn't it?
No, Simbinin.
No, but it was the same difference, wasn't it? It was in the last 10 minutes.
That's true.
You're right. I mean, I think he should have been sending off as well, but it's only an academic point because he was.
Yeah,
has he been charged by that as well?
Jake Webster's not been charged for a grade B missed tackle.
Has it gone down on the stats as a missed tackle? It was pathetic, wasn't it?
No, I'm going to defend the referee here because.
Rod, why?
I'm going to tell you.
It's not like you, Rod, to take the alternative view.
I've been screaming time and time again, the sin bin should be used for professional fouls, and the number of times that they don't put people in the bin for persistent fouling near the line, you know, lying on when there's been a break. Rugby union, they get them straight off, they don't muck around. They got the sin bin out for professional fouls. And so I applaud rugby league referees for using the sin bin when there's a professional foul. Ben Thaler, from where he was standing, believed the tackle had been completed, and therefore it was a professional foul.
Is there any reason?
Once we've watched it on a replay and realised that's a different view.
Is there any reason why Ben Thaler can't go to the screen, given that he can go to the screen when there's a dropout? Or did he have his foot on touch, or did someone knock it on, or whatever?
Rod, the tackle wasn't even complete. He was still moving, and they ripped the ball out as he was still moving.
Once you've watched it on a replay several times, that becomes apparent. Ben Thaler's watching it at full speed. From where he's standing,
even when I watched it at full speed,
I must admit, I called it a shocking decision, and I don't know. I get a few wrong.
Referees. They are human beings and they will make
mistakes.
Could
have been a season-defining mistake.
Well, not really.
Not really. If they lose the game and miss out on the League Leaders' Shield by half a point.
Could be an important one. One that was, you know, should have been a goal-line dropout and it ended up being a 20-metre restart. I mean, where do you want... But he put his foot in touch at Wakefield and it wasn't called on the 20th of July. I mean, where do you want to end with that? We'd go mad. Come on, man.
It was a poor call.
Mistakes get made. You can't, you know... No one remembers the ones where the mistake was made in favour of their team. They just assume that it was always against them every match.
Okay. Coincidence then that Cass got about 3 penalties in the next 2 minutes. I'm only asking the question, Rod.
Come on. Listen, It was a mistake, but the principle of what he was doing was right. That if they keep sending people into the bin for professional fouls, the game will be better.
Yeah. On that point of view, you know, you look at the Minikin one in rugby union. He's straight in the bin, isn't he? When he runs into the winger McIntosh.
Are you whining and dining Steve Gantz at the moment? And is that why you're sticking for referees?
Certainly not. No.
It was an appalling decision. It was appalling.
Look, Gary.
It's appalling.
Try to relax. All human beings make some mistakes. Even you get
something
wrong.
No, Gary's never made a mistake.
You said Widnes had finished bottom, don't you remember? They all slaughtered you, but you had an opinion. It was wrong, so what?
Won't far off, another 6 weeks.
So what? You said what you thought, it was wrong. You all make mistakes.
We do.
I think the highlight of that Huddersfield game was Jack Momo.
Yes.
I mean, if he'd played from the start of the season, I don't think they'd be going as badly as
he's
that.
He's a good player, isn't he? Yeah. To be fair to Rick Stone. You know, you look at that, I know, and I'll say it again.
Passionate player, too.
Rick Stone is a victim of the salary cap because he's inherited someone else's mess and there's not a right lot he can do about it. And Mamo is one of the players he brought in and he's hit the ground running.
Yes. As my mate Rob Lowe texted me, Mamo Mia.
Mm.
That was quite good,
wasn't
it?
Yeah.
Mammal.
We'll have to use that.
He wants a haircut, I know that.
Oh, come on.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
Do me a favour. He wants a haircut.
Lovely. He don't like people from Australia. He don't like people with long hair.
Come on.
He'll take drugs. Is anyone you do like? let's have
Danny
a look.
Bruff, Danny Bruff disciplinary news.
Oh, yeah.
Two, and unsurprisingly, EGP not available.
He's got a grade B and a grade
B and C.
Well, who's been charged, Rich? What's on the charge sheet?
Danny Bruff's got those two. Jamie Acton's got a B for dangerous contact. Right. Joe Dudson, A for dangerous contact. He has got an EGP, as has Vincent Dubois for other contrary behaviour.
What about outside?
I think that was the touch of the referee.
Oh, it's just not touching referee.
Is there a separate two or three pages?
It's next week with the League One, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a week
after. Wait till next week, Ross.
There's a different standard in Canada because they like ice hockey, so you can do whatever
you want. Fighting's allowed.
You've seen the like of that. Jake Emmett.
I only saw your tweets, Rod. So I'm trusting
it.
It wasn't
good.
If Jake Emmett was playing professional football, he'd be looking at a stretch of about 6 games because once he got sin-binned, he then trapped up at the ref, fair enough. Right. He then basically refused to leave the field, having been sent from the field. And while he was busy refusing to leave the field, he decided to punch an opponent in the face and then follow that up after whacking an opponent in the face and then going round sort of trying to intimidate and bully a few other of these poor Oxford lads and give them a stretch of vernacular as well. It was one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen. This was like a full Super League side full of high-earning, basically Super League players trying to intimidate and bully a load of amateur part-timers. I've rarely seen an embarrassing spectacle as that. Now, I don't know if they were sent out there by the coach to do that or not, or they did it off their own bat, but blimey, I thought that was pretty embarrassing, the whole thing.
I used an analogy yesterday, and I compared it to the film Slapshot, which if you've seen, team is rubbish, coach signs, well, the owner signs these three blokes who just come on and fight with people, and then the crowds come in. And you can work out which players are the Hanson brothers in the Toronto Wolfpack side. It was an interesting...
Paul Newman in that?
He was. Yeah. It's a great film. Do go out and watch it. It's hilarious.
I'll stream it later.
But...
Legally.
It was a fascinating thing to watch, and I've watched it again now, and... I don't know, was it cheerleading for rugby league? Was it cheerleading for Toronto from the commentary? It was very, you know, I know it's primarily for a Toronto audience, I assume it's primarily for a Toronto audience, but it was interesting having the director of the rugby at the club as the co-commentator for the match. It was like watching a club video, they might as well got Mick Morgan on.
Get Mick Morgan in,
it'd be great. But it was interesting. I wonder, too many people... quick to say Toronto is a success after one home game with 6,000 people there. Let's not say it's a failure straight away. Let's say it's a success straight away.
Yeah.
We're not here to cheerlead. We're here to ask questions, and we hope it's
John,
a success in the future.
You raised a good point earlier about Toronto and their crowd and what we've seen elsewhere from opening home fixtures.
I think it was at PSG was double that and a sellout, and I think the Crusaders were a sellout in 2010. So I think as Rich just said rightly, I mean you can't can't judge a success in, you know, 5 years, 10 years. They've obviously got to have a long plan. Even look at the Auckland Warriors, the New Zealand Warriors in Australia. I think they're, what, 22 years in, and it's probably taken them 20 years to... They still haven't won a competition. They're still establishing themselves in the whole country, in a way. So, yeah, it's a bit early to say whether it is a success or a failure.
Yeah, I think that's a fair shout. You can't judge a sports team on one result, and you can't judge a sports club on one match and one attendance. I'm just hoping it's a coincidence that, you know, they're playing like Lee did. Do you remember when poor Ollie was at Lee, and they had that season where they're just like yellow cards and red, because they had more than the rest of the league put together, right? And then they played Warrington in the cup, and they went out to play against Warrington, and they played some real brilliant stuff, and they got rid of all the other side of the game. And it was brilliant, it was fantastic. And then they went on from that to play like that, Lee. They developed and they became one of the most attractive sides. They were playing with flair and panache, and it was, you know, it was attractive, it was progressive. And I really hope that Toronto aren't going to regress back to that filth that was... It was tiresome. You know, there were four separate fights. You just think, oh, look, oh, come
Some
on.
Some people have asked, was play it almost like it was staged?
Choreographed. Mm. The first two brawls looked like they were choreographed. The Emmett thing when he whacked someone in the face didn't. But I just think it's just tiresome. If they serve that up every week, we're all... not for me, thanks. It's not 1977 anymore.
Scott, you're a big fan of Paul Rowley, but Rod's made a good point there. You know, it's not like his size haven't got form for this.
Well, yeah, and to be honest with you, it's a surprise as well, because, as I say, I've liked at times where that when it was at Lee, the way they played from there.
It was great, wasn't it? When they forgot all the other side.
But I fully understand where you're coming from there, and realistically, the quality of what they've got, they don't need to do that sort of rubbish, do they, to be honest with you?
No, they don't.
And, but also, as well, if I'm I'm not really interested in Toronto this year, because we know the squad, what they've got. They should hammer everybody, they will hammer everybody, and there's a right way and the wrong way to go things about it. And if that's what they're going to dish up every week, well, I'm afraid to say they'll lose more friends.
There was a couple of fantastic tries by Brawley. I mean, look, but
he's far too good for that.
Well, I was just going to say the same thing, Joey. I mean, I was going to say, what's he doing now? I know what he's doing. He's earning a decent amount of money. I get that, and I'm not criticising Ryan Brawley for that. Good luck to the boy. But as a sportsman, and you'll know this better than me, Scully, when you're playing at a level where, you know, you're far too good for it, it can't really satisfy you, can it, when there's no challenge to you?
Well, to be honest with you, what Ryan Brawley's gone there, oh, OK, well, he were on decent money at Huddersfield as well, but he must
be on more there.
He just wanted to play, didn't he? Yeah. Rick Stone didn't like him, he thought it was a luxury, so he just wants to play rugby for the kid, but he's far too good for there, and... whether it's a point of view, where again, he can maybe put himself in the shop window, who knows, but it's far too good for them.
Hindsight is a wonderful thing. We can look back with 13 games into both the Betfred Super League and the Kingston Press Championship. Are Bradford and Toronto in the wrong divisions? Richard Shawright, I'll ask you.
Well, apparently Bradford are, because...
Apparently Bradford are, because they weren't very good yesterday, were they? Sheffield stuffed them. And, Bradford's still minus two. Although we did have another episode of Radio Yorkshire's popular Sunday afternoon detective series, Where is Jeff Toovey? And he was there. He was there.
It was there in all his...
Is it the coach's books?
It was there from all his Bradford kit. It was there on the warm-up.
He's on early holidays, though.
So,
see, in disguise, Scully.
He's been to the Media Museum 27 times now.
Are they doing a new holiday on the bus? Or something with Jeff Toovey? But one thing for sure, I'll tell you what, with Bradford side, they're an absolute shambles.
I'm getting a bit concerned, actually.
Absolute shambles. Because, again, when you look at them players and they're coming in the dressing room, who are they going to be playing with? Are they going to be playing with lone players from Leeds? Are they going to be playing with due registration from Widnes? What sort of team spirit and what sort of passing or feeling can they get for the club? It's an absolute shambles. Yeah. It is.
I'm going to have to break it to Mrs. Studd soon that Christmas may be off with my obscene bet on Bradford staying up this season. It's starting to get concerning. But what I can't listen... Right, I get all the loan... But the loan deals aren't consistent, like Scully said. But why? If I was a Bradford fan, I'd be going, why aren't we signing players? They've still got more money than most of these teams in this division. Well, forget OKR and...
They are signing players, but they're signing players that aren't allowed to play for them, like Dane Chisholm.
Right.
All that bloke from Papua New Guinea or wherever he's from.
Yeah, but why haven't they signed... Why aren't they signing players that can play?
Well, why can they not take card payments in the club shop? You know, little things, you know, like
replica shirts.
or selling the wrong replica shirt. But I tell you, giving up on that club.
But also, as well, though, Rod, you know, you mentioned the players and this sort of thing. And like Leon Price, has been a decent player, you know. But what I saw yesterday, and I said it earlier, and I said it to the boys. Leon, if you're listening, son, you know, you've been a decent player, but give somebody else an opportunity now. You've got to retire. For the good of Bradford. It is. He's got to retire for the good of Bradford.
You mentioned, Rod, where's the Bradford money going? I'd say a lot of it's going Leon Price's way. Well, it's got to be, hasn't it? Got to be.
Visa process?
Eh?
Yeah, but you'd expect Leon Price to be able to do a job in that division, wouldn't you?
Roddy wasn't yesterday. Roddy was just a passenger.
Was he?
He wasn't. And they're an absolute shambles. They are.
That is a terrible result.
They're a shambles. It was and the scoreline at the end, finished up 52-16. It was 48-0 after 70 minutes. Yeah. Sheffield took the foot of the gas and they scored three tries at the back end 10 minutes just to make the score look respected. But they're a shambles. They are, and again, how can you get a dressing room in there when you don't know who you play with week in and week out?
Well, I think even the most ardent fans now are starting to go, hang on, who am I coming and supporting here? It's like anyone who's...
But also, though, what I'll say about the Bradford fans, they turned up in plenty of numbers yesterday at Wakefield. There must have been, what was the crowd, what they're giving there in the crowd
1,400.
There must have been at least, 400, yeah, so you'd say there's at least 1,100.
So going back to my initial point, are they in the wrong division? Should Toronto be in the Championship, Bradford be in League One?
Absolutely.
Rod?
Absolutely.
Current evidence is should. What would worry me is that Sheffield Eagles are in no better a financial state than the Bradford Bulls. I mean, they were in the similar mess to Bradford, you know, in that turmoil at the end of the season. Well, they've managed to get 12 points. Well, they've won nearly half the matches, so fair play to them. Bradford, you know, the last few games have been awful, haven't they? So I still think they'll actually get out of it because they've got to play all the worst teams again, haven't they, in the whatever eight they're in. Third eight. What's it called?
Championship
Shield 8.
Well, they are the defending champions.
Yeah, that was yesterday's big game.
I think that might just give them that shot in the arm that they need to try and defend that prestigious crown.
It was the big rematch yesterday, the Championship Shield rematch.
What a turnaround.
It was Bradford won and promptly sold off to Cashcombe.
Hey, but I'll tell you what, you mentioned Bradford, I'll tell you what, Sheffield, and they were pretty outstanding.
You were quite critical of them early in the year.
I was against Halifax, they were very old against Halifax, but yesterday they were absolutely outstanding, and the four P&G guys, boy oh boy, you know, we all know the P&G guys. They can either turn up and be outstanding or turn up and, you know, get a 3 out of 10. But yesterday, with a bit of sun on the back, dry conditions, home of the centre and the wing accommodation in Gary Law, the big front row in Mexico, and they were just absolutely ripping it in Bradford. And the way that they hit him in defence, the way that the hard and straight, the way they were running, they were a pleasure to watch. And, yeah, Sheffield yesterday were quite impressive. Quite impressive.
Can we ask a question? Are St Helens going to miss out on the top eight?
Yes.
It'll be close between them and Warrington. But Warrington are getting better, aren't they?
What about Catalan?
Who can work out what Catalan are? They should have won that game on Saturday, shouldn't they?
Should have been Wakefield last week.
Should have been in Wakefield. And they didn't. So... I somehow think Saints will sneak in. It depends how their new coach goes. Was it you, John, I mentioned last week the hopes Saints have got a better visa advisor than Bradford?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I'll tell you what, St Helens' season's finished on Saturday. Castleford will beat them in the Challenge Cup. So now, this new coach who's coming in, he's not coming in for another 2 weeks again to visa problems. And it's quite interesting.
It's not visa problems, it takes time for
the visa problems. Yeah, all right. Yeah,
Bradford have got visa problems all over. They can't get one for the coach and they can't take it in the shop.
Another visa problem. I guess if you watch that performance on Friday night, he might have another point of view about coming to St Helens. But when you look at... You look at Saints, you know, their season's going to be over with on Saturday, because Casper's going to beat them, so the Challenge Cup's gone. Right. They're going to get nowhere near the top four.
Oh, I see. Right.
They're going to get nowhere near the top four until the season's finished. So this new coach now is going to come in a fortnight's time.
Bring back the top eight playoffs to keep them all going.
I'll agree to that one, Rod. I'll agree to that. But what he's got to assess, who's good enough, who's not good enough. He's got a big rebuilding job to do at St Helens, as this kid.
I think St Helens should finish in the top eight. They're better than Huddersfield. They're better than Catalan Dragons. They're probably better than Wakefield in reality, even though they're below.
Not the way they're playing, Rod. Rod, not the way they're playing.
I've been in the way. They've got better players than Wakefield. So
So what difference does that mean?
Well, that means that they should get better results.
Well, as I've been saying about St Helens over the last 5 weeks, they're talking the talk and not walking the walk.
Come on. I don't know what happened
to Warrington. Rod, have you not seen St Helens?
Yes, I have.
Did you see him on Friday?
Yeah.
They were all right for 15 minutes for the rest of the rubbish.
I backed them to win on Friday. I was disconsolate. I was buoyant for a short period of time, and then by the end, I was...
You get better remorse.
Why did I fall for that again? Remorse. Yeah. I was in turmoil at the end of it.
Hopefully, though, they've got two players coming back from Sydney nice and fresh. They've had a little break, been out on the beach, got some sun, ready to go.
Exactly.
I think you're plucking at straws here with St Helens. plucking at straws here with St Helens. As I keep saying, them players, they're talking the talk and walking the walk.
Imagine if they beat Castleford in the cup.
They will beat Castleford.
I don't think it's as cut and dry. They beat them a month ago, Rod.
Only because Lovegill wasn't kicking goals, that's why.
It's one of three live games on Radio Yorkshire. Dewsbury Wakefield this weekend.
Come on, Wakefield. My team Halifax did a great job this weekend.
By the way, I haven't applied for your accreditation for Friday, so just be quiet for a bit longer. You do know you don't get paid. You're not like Charlie Taylor at Leeds. You don't get paid if you don't turn up. Castleford Saints on Saturday. On Sunday, Leeds Barrow.
I am turning up at Dewsbury.
You might not get in, though. They don't like you, apparently. you've asked the question. Should Leon Price retire, Richard? Just throw the grenade in and stand back.
I didn't ask it. Somebody else has done it on my behalf, and a lot of people are saying they agree with Scully.
This is getting a common thing now.
It's going consensus.
Because people know, right?
One of the other performances people want to talk about, as well as Hull's obviously come back against Winners, we mentioned Winners, but Salford beating Wigan under threes, because they're all out injured, of course, down to the bare bones is Harry Redknapp, but it's Sean Wayne at Wigan. But Salford, well done to them. They can only beat what's in front of you. I hope you've got your coaches booked for London. Although, in fairness, joking aside, Sean Wayne did say after the game he was happy with the performance through adversity and so on and so forth. But Manchester Red Devils, great result for them.
We got asked a question about Wigan. Do the way that they train, we keep hearing about this pit and the intensity and the way they knock each other about. They've got an awful lot of injuries, John. Do you think there's any link? Or is it just sheer bad luck?
Yeah, that's a good point, because I think that Michael Maguire sort of instilled that, that hard edge into them, and they definitely thrive on it. It's worked for them in the past. How many grand finals have they been in? Obviously, one last year. I wouldn't go against it, but they have had a horrific run of injuries. I mean, you'd sort of think whether you would ease the training load just to sort of help a few of those bodies along.
Scully, you've had an opinion on Wigan. What do you think about that? Is it just sheer bad luck? It's been going on a long time.
I think at this moment, it is sheer bad luck. But I think what Sean will be doing, he'll be looking at this league table and I say, I'll be thinking, well, he knows when the business end of the season is coming. So if he's going to miss out the top four after round 23, he'll be thinking, well, we're not too far off. The business end is coming in here now. We've been in this position before. We can handle pressure games and handle the big games from there. I don't think he'd be too worried yet, Sean, to be honest with you. I don't. We all know the philosophy of Wigan, the academy kids, what they bring through. Everybody who comes in, they know exactly how they should be playing, what their role is. So I don't think Sean will be too worried at this moment in time what's going on. He'll be keeping an eye on making sure they don't get too far behind on the top four. If they can finish in the top four, I reckon that might be a bonus for himself. But they'll be ready for the business end, and he can't rule them out.
I'll make 2 points here. The system is keeping them in the fray, because if it was first past the post, I think Castleford would win this league by a street.
Okay.
For me, Castleford are head and shoulders above everything. Points difference is a good barometer of who the best team. Their points difference is plus 262. It's phenomenal. There's 170 better than anybody. So
that's why St Helens are going out of the Challenge Cup on Saturday.
We're going to be kept in the competition by the system, because obviously they're in the top four. But what I would say is, we've talked a lot about restructuring. They should change the playoff system to what they use in the Indian Premier League. And it's not exclusive to the Indian Premier League. Four teams get through. First place second and third place fourth in the first round. Winner of first v second goes into the final. Loser plays the winner of third v fourth for the second place in the final. Then the first two teams are getting more advantage. At the moment, you play 30 games to get ground advantage in one match. Mm. That's pathetic. So the first to play second, the third to play fourth, and that system in the Premier League. Because then Castleford, for finishing first, will actually get more advantage than what they're going to get from now. That's a much better system. It goes on one extra week. But that is something they need to change. The first v fourth, third v second is nonsense of the semi-final system.
Okay, no, good point.
Final point on Salford. They have launched their survey today to engage with their fan base. I've not checked if Manchester Red Devils is available on Twitter to take over and try sell to Dr. Kukash when they change the name, but make sure the fans there have their say on any potential rebranding of the Salfordians.
Yeah.
We saw the flag at Wigan. They're not happy.
It's not going to drag many in, I don't think, is it?
Oh, I think in the past, other rugby league clubs that have changed their names to embrace a different brand, a different area, hasn't worked, so... Yeah, I think it's disappointing too because the work that Ian Lees and
some sports clubs, though. I mean, changing from Newton Heath to Manchester United hasn't done too
bad. I mean, more recently, perhaps, when you look at the Bulldogs who dropped Canterbury and became Sydney and then went back to Canterbury and Balmain, those sort of examples. But I know what you mean.
Yeah, I think it's a tricky one because you can be in danger of being held back by.
History, heritage.
I've mentioned Manchester years ago. Manchester is a much more identifiable brand, in inverted commas, because really of Manchester United, which is like the most iconic sports team in the world, pretty in the top sort of three or four. It's much more marketable than Salford. I think the doctor is on the right lines with it, and you might have to bite the bullet and annoy a small group of people for the eventual greater good. And I think he'll be fearless enough to shove through the door if he thinks it's the best way to go forward.
Okay. A turn for Wigan then. They are doing it really, really tough at the minute, Scully, aren't they? They've got Swinton in the cup this week. Probably comes at a good time trying to get some bodies back. They then, I think, face Warrington at the Magic Weekend. It's going to be tough, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but as you mentioned, Swinton there, so get a bit of confidence back there. Morgan Escoder, you mentioned, Mark, he's out for the season as well.
Yeah. Apparently Joel Tompkins ended up at half-back at the weekend.
Right, yeah. So, but again, Sean, he doesn't sound too ruffled. He knows the quality of the youngsters that are going to come from there, so a bit of a test against Swinton. They won't be any mugs. They'll be looking forward to that challenge from there, the way that Huddersfield did take away the right attitude, but you suspect Wigan will take away the right attitude and a confidence booster for the Magic Weekend the week after.
Is there any chance that Wigan might borrow any dual reg players from Swinton this week?
Yeah, they might be asking them for some, to be honest.
I saw Bilko said their young halfback at Wigan is cup tied because he played for Swinton in the last round.
So he can't play for the club that we signed for. Yeah. No. That's what makes the system ridiculous, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So the young kid himself, he has to sacrifice there, so he can't even play a game of rugby league for either Swinton or Wigan. Ridiculous, isn't it?
Game in Bradford, they're like that.
It's ridiculous for the young kid. You know, it's a sad festival for Wigan. It's been loaned out, and now they're drawing each other in the cup. The poor kid can't even get a game of rugby league. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it is indeed. 5 minutes of our show left. Thanks to everyone that has got in touch. I know we had a couple of gremlins earlier on, but plenty of you getting in touch as always. Don't forget the podcast up as well tonight if you want to get joining in with that.
Another predictions, sorry.
Yeah, we'll do those in just a minute. Good evening to Gainer, who's a big Salford fan. So 900 of them at Wigan on Friday. Whenever we go to Salford, we praise the Salford. They make loads of noise, don't they? They just need more of them, don't they?
Absolutely. And to be honest with you, the way that Bleasy and is coming there, and I say Watson with the side what he's got, the philosophy from his players, the team spirit what he's got there, the brand of rugby league they're playing is brilliant. Hopefully the fans will start coming back. But as Phil Kaplan has said a couple of times on this show, Matt, you know, even when they were at their best, you know, with the key fielding days and Di Watkins and whatever, they only got between 6,000 and 7,000 anyway. So yeah. I know Mr. Kukash is looking to rebrand and maybe play at Old Trafford and Etihad, but I think that'd be a huge mistake.
they could play at the stadium that Sheikh Mansour built next to the Etihad, couldn't they?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
That'll go down delightfully, won't it? The Manchester Red Devils there. They'd love them.
I think that's the way where the Rangers play, isn't it?
Yeah.
Manchester Rangers.
I think there might be a bit. Well, call themselves the Manchester Sky Blues then, I don't know. Call themselves Manchester City RL.
Manchester Purples.
Whatever, but that stadium is more. That stadium might be better for.
I agree.
Throwing the idea around. I mean, you know, that might be a better location for the club, perhaps. I don't know. Listen, Dr. Kukash is. He's done a lot of good stuff because he's actually trying to find out what's going. He's trying to find the
solution,
the problem, and now he's going to try and find the solution. You can't knock Dr. Kukash for that.
We're not knocking him.
He is actually trying to find what is causing the problem and then trying to find the solution to it. And good on him, I say.
Yeah. All right. Quickly then, we've got to do this really quick now because we've only got a couple of minutes left. We'll start off in the Cup. Cast Saints then.
Cast by 14.
Okay, Rod.
I'm all over Castler for everything. So, you know, I'm
good.
Cass,
I followed you, Mark.
Good man.
You knew first.
Yeah. Cass by 12.
Yeah, Cass in that one. What about then Salford? They are taking on Hull Kingston Rovers.
Tasty one, this. Tasty one. We all know what happened last year, and Salford, they'll be making sure that it won no fluke. I'm going Salford by 14.
Salford for me. But, you know, remember those people that thought that promotion and relegation was awful, and it was licensing was the panacea to all ills? Now, that was one of the great sporting, you know, 2 minutes. And not as you thought Hulk AR, you know, it must be awful. But, I mean, that was magical. So Salford for me again, I think they'll repeat that one.
Yeah, definitely Salford. And just interesting to see Tim Sheens coaching up against his old club.
Yeah.
Salford by 12, probably more.
I'm going to go Hulk AR.
Are you really?
I am indeed.
Why?
Because
he thinks they'll win.
I think they'll win, yeah. quite a daft question, really.
That's why he's bonkers. That's why he's bonkers, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm bonkers. The man who said Castleford will win the league. I'm not looking too bonkers now, Schofield. Last one, then, for now. Warrington, Widnes.
Warrington. Widnes are gone.
Widnes.
Go on, say it, Scully. Well,
everybody knows he's bonkers anyway, so.
Yeah, I think Warrington will get that
any
one.
Any outcome is possible. No matter how unlikely it seems.
Yeah. I think I would have to go with Warrington too. We will see. Three live games. Shrewsbury Wakefield Friday. We're at Cass Saints on Saturday. On Sunday, it's Leeds against Barrow. Thanks to Richard, as always. Thanks to John for stepping in for Phil. We'll let him out of the cupboard next week. Thanks to Rod, who gatecrashed the show tonight. More than welcome.
My pleasure.
And the legend, as always, is with us. You're back Friday. You'll go to Dewsbury if they let you in.
I am indeed. Dewsbury and my tip for Wakefield to win by 36.
Wakefield by 36. Fair enough. We will find out if you are right. Duffy, you can download the podcast as well. Keep your eye out on Twitter for that. At RL on RY, you can subscribe to that so you get it every week. Thousands of you, and that's not an RFL. We're keeping it quiet. There are thousands downloading it every week. Thanks to each and every one of you. We'll be back next week with more live rugby league.